Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Steven Medan.
And this is Jeff Ellison. It's Thursday, September 30th, 2010.
Episode 6.27, the Week 4 preview show.
Donovan McNabb returns to Philadelphia to SmackDown.
That's right. We are headed to Philly in about 29 hours.
Don't say that. That stresses me out.
That's right. 29 hours. We're on a plane headed to Philly as Donovan McNabb returns to his stomping ground of 10 years. To face the Philadelphia Eagles.
And we will tell you exactly what that welcome is like, although I think I have a pretty good idea what it's going to be like right now.
How is it going to be?
It's not going to be warm.
I think it's going to be warm.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm not sure. We've got a great guest today.
That's right. Today's guest is Rich Eisen, host of NFL Total Access.
What's our nickname for him
going to
be?
He is going to be BMOC of NFL BMOC West Coast.
World.
All right.
Come on. He's the host of Total Access. He was the first hire by the network.
You got a good point there.
BMOC World.
So Rich Eisen's on the show today. We're going to get to chat football with him. That's going to be pretty cool.
We've got bye weeks here. Got games broken out. Thank goodness.
That's right. We finally break out the games.
Which means this, I guarantee, Steven.
What do you guarantee?
A show under 3 hours.
Possibly. All this coming up in a moment, folks.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
So I've been busy busting it, working phones,
people
getting
been
people.
Busy?
I've been busy.
Yeah.
Bussing it, and that's how we managed to get, you know, Jason and Rich on the show.
In the same week.
We got Sam Farmer coming back next week to kind of, after 4 weeks, we'll have every quarter mark of the season, Sam Farmer's going to be back. We're going to talk about what he sees are interesting things and what he thought were going to be interesting things but may not be. So that's pretty cool. This weekend, Peter King runs his half marathon.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hopefully after that, he will have some time to join us on the show. So we're excited about that. And I'm trying to get some celebrities now on the show.
You know, Rich has already got the celebrity thing nailed on his show.
He does. We're going to talk to him about that.
So what, are we going to ask him
this
to
week,
just give
he's
us his
got,
leftovers?
He's got the people who aren't good enough to come on the Rich Eisen podcast,
that's right,
we'll have them on our show. This week he's got from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
The creator who did Seinfeld.
Larry, what's his name? Come on, Jeff.
Larry Holmes. Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Zonka.
Okay, I thought you had the email I sent you in front of
I
you to
do,
help me
I do, but not
there.
In front of me. He's got Larry David.
Yes.
Ooh, beat you.
David, yes. Well, you pull up your email?
Yes,
pull that
absolutely.
Out.
Had to pull out the email.
So I'm
there.
Pretty excited, and I'm actually the first female celebrity, I think, is going to be a female celebrity.
Well, isn't Chrissy a celebrity now?
Well, I guess so. She is. She is.
She
is on a weekly series.
Everybody,
and she's got. She is. She could be. She's a co-host.
A co-host?
Yes.
She was a co-host?
Yeah, she was a co-host. And then, you know, she kind of came in.
And if that doesn't establish your celebrity, just being a co-host, I mean, my God.
She's willing to jump in and do just about anything.
You know what we have right now, actually? We have live from L.A. County Lockup, we have Britney Spears on the line.
No, we don't.
Oh, Steven, I wanted to do that bit.
Yeah.
I really want to do that bit.
No, let's leave Britney Spears alone.
Oh, come on, in lockup?
Leave her alone.
I don't know what she was going to say, but I was looking forward to it.
You know what? I don't want to hear what she had to say from lockup, whether it be her or Paris Hilton or any of these young girls who have way too much money
and
who
way
don't know
too much
how to
time on their hands.
Handle themselves. I don't want to hear from any of them unless they want to sponsor the show.
Yeah.
And give us a ton of money.
Oh, in which case,
in which
it's
case,
theirs.
She can come online.
NFL Rants and Raves brought to you by Britney Spears and Paris Hilton, where you always get your best Hilton hotels deals.
My goodness. All right. Let's just get to NFL news because there's only been 2 days since we've been on the show.
Since we've been on the show?
Since we've been on the air,
since we've
shall
been
I
off
say.
The air.
And There's been a ton of news.
All right, we'll
so
get it started.
Let's just get to it. NFL news. Trent Edwards found a team, Jeffrey.
Of course he did.
Any of the 0-3 teams.
Well, as Jason so beautifully dictated, here is the way the rules break down, and you go in order of how bad your team is.
Right.
And he basically had all the 0-3 teams passing, and they did.
Here's the thing. That's right. Jason Lacapur was with
us. It was hour after he was off.
Last show. And that's right. And he's like, you know what? Niners aren't interested.
Right.
They're 0-3. Cleveland's not interested. They're 0-3.
Bills might be, but, oh, they're the ones who released him.
the Lions are 0-3. Yeah, they're not interested. So that left the Jacksonville Jaguars. And
David Garrard.
No, Garrard,
that's the sound of someone breathing down your neck.
Garrard said that he's not too concerned.
David.
Hey, Jeffrey, have you seen Trent Edwards' numbers over the past two games?
He's not very good. Have you seen David Garrard's numbers over the last couple games?
Just as bad. David Garrard made it into the ugly segment.
Oh, the good, bad, and the ugly
for week three.
I'm coming home from the Greek Theater last night, and my phone just starts going on a tweet fest, and it's you.
Is it?
Because you've posted the good, the bad, and the ugly last night.
Really?
And so Bender and I are at the Greek watching the Dukes of September. Donald Fagan, Boz Gags, Mike
McDonald.
I thought
for a second there you were going to tell me that you were there watching Rick Springfield again.
Yeah, no, Rick was actually on the bill, but he got sick, so they had to replace him with Steely Dan, the Doobie Brothers, and Boz Gags.
All
but
right.
Besides that,
which
it worked out real.
Be?
I'd be the one that looks like my brother,
okay.
The Michael McDonald. Boy, did he bring it.
Forget.
And he did that. He did that, yeah.
Really?
And, dude, the place was rocking. He was doing minute by minute.
With a bunch of 60-year-old men.
60-year-old men and women. But there was a 60-year-old guy dancing, check this, with a fedora and this bitchin' earring.
Yeah.
And he just, it looked proper.
Were there 60-year-old women throwing bras on the stage?
No, but
thank
boy.
Thank God.
Well,
thank
mind
God.
You.
For a second, I thought you were going to say
Mike
yes.
Mike McDonald,
yes.
not the most attractive man in the world.
Okay.
Boz Gags, not
Michael
the most attractive.
Michael McDonald in his day when he had the trimmed beard.
His beard wasn't white as snow.
That's right.
He looks like Father Christmas.
He got panties and bras thrown on the stage.
Probably, but he had his eyes closed the whole time, and now he's become much more accustomed to it. And Donald Fagan, if you haven't seen him, the head of Steely Dan along with Walter Becker, he's got gold teeth. He looks like Chris Johnson, only the white version. And so he's kind of scary looking. And but the show was magical,
right.
And the
so,
rain and the lightning in the Hollywood Hills.
Did you?
It was awesome.
Did you get to the? Did you get to read the good?
I
the
got
bad,
to
bad.
The Greek, and I read the good, the bad, and the ugly when I had to get
that's
that plug
where
in there.
We were on the good, the bad, and the ugly,
and so I got all these tweets, and on my way back from the Greek,
yes.
And it was terrific. It was really good.
David Garrard. Over his past two games,
ugly.
He's been,
and again, yeah. Get out to the website, NFLRNR.com, and read Steven's article, his
U-G-L-Y,
take on week three.
He ain't got no alibi.
He ugly.
That's right. He is just awful right
what
now.
What other news do we have, though? I didn't know we had that
all
much.
Right. Well, apparently, Ocho Cinco's in the news.
Uh-oh.
Today.
That'd be 8-5 for those who don't speak Spanish.
That's right. Chad Ocho Cinco has put out a cereal. And unfortunately, on his cereal box.
Hang on. I've got to absorb this. I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Not a old-fashioned soap opera. Literally a breakfast cereal, a.k.a. Cheerios, Wheaties.
Yeah, they're called the Chad Ocho Cinco cereal.
8-5 cereal.
Yes.
It's made up of little eights and little fives.
On his cereal boxes.
I assume he's all over the cereal box.
That's right. But Jeffrey, on his cereal boxes at the Kroger food stores in Cincinnati,
right?
They printed the box, and on there is he is doing a charity for Feed the Children, and he put a phone number on there. Feed the Children. You buy my cereal box. Call this number. Make a donation. Blah blah blah. You know, goes
okay.
Part of the proceeds of his cereal go
okay.
to
okay. That I go for.
All right. Well, someone misprinted the phone number the cereal box, and people are calling in to see if they can donate money to the charity.
Like, stop calling me!
And
why are you calling me?
It's
what, is it a porn?
Sex site.
Oh, no!
And so,
hey, yeah. If you want to talk with Jasmine, press 1. She's having a really good time right now.
No, Chad, I wanted to donate money.
Press 2 for Suzanne. How much money do you want to donate, big fella?
I'm sorry, and I don't know who printed the boxes. Well,
they should get fired and spend at least 2 days in the can.
A horrible mix-up.
That sounds almost intentional, like a prank, and it's a shame that Chad, trying to do a good thing, ends up having it backfire.
So the Kroger company is now, of course, recalled all the boxes. They're pulling all the boxes off the shelves.
And they should pay for the redoing of all these things. And they should donate a lot of money to feed the children.
You know what? We always try on the show to bring good, positive messages about what players are doing that are good in the communities. And this is one of those. Unfortunately, it failed.
Miserably.
With the wrong sex phone number there.
Sam Farmer had done a great piece, and so I went out to littleurl.com and put Sam's whole long URL in, and because I wanted people to read
because
it, because it was
Jeffrey
terrific.
Didn't follow Stephen Miranda protocol.
I didn't, because your protocol is lengthy and not written down.
Oh, so you were,
I did my best. I was trying.
He was trying to
circumvent. I was trying. No, I was trying to follow the protocol.
It was lengthy.
It was so I circumvent, not anything else circumming.
You circumvented.
Vented. All let's right. be clear. And so I wanted people to go out and read Sam's article. So I Twittered and Facebooked. It was a really, really good article.
It was.
And you click
failed.
On it, and it's like, URL not found. Congratulations.
Fail.
Like, oh,
is
God.
Is this
going
to be the fail show?
It better not
we're
be.
We're talking about all these fails.
We're going to be making picks here, and I've gone... 9, 11,
already.
10, and ooh. If I don't stay above double digits now that we're in bye weeks.
I'm going the other way. I went 9, 10, 11.
And as Steven boasted last week, you generally improve as the season goes on.
I'm on a crescendo. I am locked in, baby.
And that scares me.
For the site, I don't know, Peter King has this, he's doing this with Hyundai, this Peter King challenge where you pick against him. And you get
I
a little
can pick
you,
against
you,
King.
You
come
little,
on.
You get a little crown if you outpick Peter King.
I want a freaking crown because I can outpick King.
I've got crowns, baby.
I can outpick King. Crown. I didn't know.
So anyways, the leader in that whole thing is only 3 games above me, dude.
This is my point.
I'm totally gonna own this Peter King challenge. I'm gonna win it. Peter's gonna have to come hang out with us.
And kiss your black
And we're
butt.
Gonna get a week's paid vacation to Las Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby!
Vegas, baby!
Okay, new hotel in Vegas.
Yes.
It's not the Aria.
The Sunray.
Did you see that? People are getting torched. They're bursting into flames at the pool of some new hotel in Vegas.
I heard the lawyer who was like, literally, I started running for my life because I was getting cooked from the
And they
inside
have a
out.
Picture of a plastic bag that someone had that's all melted and shriveled. Because the building bows at such an angle as when the sun reflects off it, it hits down to the pool almost like a magnifying glass under the sun.
So now there is like a warning that says if you want to use this pool,
you may die. You
may get cooked and eaten later by cannibals.
And so they've tinted some of the windows in an attempt to help mitigate this. But what a funny, funny story.
All right,
so what
Jeffrey,
other news, dude? I mean, I didn't know about
Packer
that.
Packer safety Nick Collins
got into a little
altercation with a fan.
There was a brouhaha after the Bears game.
Well, apparently from his version of the accounts, he was leaving the stadium after the Packers lost 2017 to the Bears and that heartbreaker there. And some
18
fans,
penalties.
Yeah. Some fans were, one particular fan, giving him a hard time, and then apparently spat on him and started using some racial slurs.
He was saying, black people, slur.
I'm sure that wasn't it, Jeffrey.
No,
but
that's not the racial slur.
To Nick Collins, he lost his cool, and he flung his mouthpiece into the stands at him.
Wow, that's a lethal weapon if you're made of tissue.
Yeah.
I'm not defending what Nick did, but there was another guy who threw a helmet that ended up going into the stands recently.
Right. Yeah.
And that seems a tad more dangerous than a mouthpiece.
Yeah,
it's got spittle on it, and it's kind of gross, but you know what they're made of, friends?
Plastic, right.
Soft plastic, because they go in your mouth, and they go around your teeth.
Well, Nick Collins
I'm not defending his behavior, but look, if that's as losing your cool as you get... And there is a story that is much bigger news, like Kasim Osgood, where he didn't throw a mouthpiece.
Yeah,
he threw a bullet.
Let's finish with Collins first. The thing is, Collins has come out and he's apologized to the fans, teammates, organization, the NFL, for saying that he's sorry he's lost his cool. He should have walked away. But still, here, let's for a second, fans, look, we're big fans of the
huge
sport. Huge. All right? And I like heckling people just to heckle people.
People in the stands? Or
yeah, no.
The players.
Players, yeah.
Okay. You know? I like to heckle coaches more than players.
I mean, the classic example of heckling. Remember my dad who got arrested?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
We went to the Dodger game.
He was
all over Piazza. I mean,
Pizza Man! Pizza Man!
Look, first of all, in defense of my father, he had never had such cool seats in his life.
Yep.
He had always been relegated to seating up in the nosebleed upper deck
Mike
section.
Where Mike Piazza can't hear you.
Exactly. So now we're right behind the Dodger dugout.
On the field.
My dad's a Giants fan.
Pizza Man!
They're playing the Giants.
Stevie could have gone to the Naval Academy, Pizza Man.
I remember that day so vividly because even Piazza turned around and looked at him like, come on, old man, seriously?
Stevie could have gone to West Point. He could have taken your job.
He didn't say anything about me.
No, he didn't, but it would have been funny.
But the thing of just, and that's, you fans do that. The problem I have with this particular fan is, when you start calling people and you start getting racial and
personal.
You start getting personal, that's not cool.
There is most people cannot keep their composure while people they love are being slammed.
Yeah.
While you're trying to say things degrading about their character, about their race.
That's a line.
You've crossed
where
the line.
As a fan, you should not cross.
And a lady at the concert last night said, look, because she was being really loud and talking with her friends while this great music's going on. I said, could you please keep it down a little bit because it's getting loud? And she just kept carrying on. I said, look, I'm pretty sure the band can hear you. We were in the ninth row. I'm like, I'm pretty sure the band can hear you. And she said, here was her comeback. I paid for my ticket, so I have a right to do whatever I want.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's the mentality that a lot
and
of people have.
Guess what, friends? That's not true. Yeah, yes, you paid for your ticket, but no, that doesn't give you the right to do whatever you want.
That doesn't give you the right to attack someone physically or verbally.
Or disrupt the enjoyment of the game for other people.
Exactly.
It does not. So, there's kids in the stands, not at this concert. There was nobody under 45. Jeez. It was so Mike McDonald, this is so funny. So it's the Dukes of September. He says, Donald Fagan says, we thought of other names. And Mike McDonald says, yeah, like the Liver Spots tour. And Fagan pulled a Steven, which was just, he didn't think that was very funny.
Yeah.
And he let Mike know. It was a very awkward opening to the show. He's like, yeah, Liver Spot, yeah. You had to throw that in there and just kind of kill the buzz of the evening, didn't you?
Thanks a lot.
And I was like, I'm laughing. I busted a gut, which now I understand why our listeners enjoy us sometimes having little riffs. Because I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
And
the back.
It doesn't give you license to do whatever you want.
Go enjoy the game, but you don't have to get personal with a player. And I'm not obviously defending Nick Collins for throwing his mouthpiece up at the fan, but the fan shouldn't have gone there. And
you know how far I go?
Two people to tango, Jeffrey. Yeah. And so for the fan to say, oh, he threw his mouthpiece at me. Yeah, what did you do that instigated him throwing a mouthpiece at you?
That's right.
In the case of Brandon Jacobs, he was just a boob, and he threw his helmet up into the stand.
No, he threw it at the ground, and it bounced into the stadium.
I thought he threw it into the stadium.
And if you ask him, he didn't throw it at all. It slipped out of his fingers. He was walking calmly, and the helmet slipped out of his fingers and then somehow hit a trampoline that was accidentally left on the ground, and it went 10 rows into the stands.
But,
so here's a guy. Chad Curtis is an old baseball player, and I used to really not like him because I thought he was mentally weak. And so this was my way of breaking him, and he would always strike out when I did this. Just really obnoxious, and that's it.
Yeah, that might have gotten me upset if I were sitting next to you, though.
Absolutely, but you know what? The Angels fans start learning. He strikes out every time you do this. He is so easily rattled. But did I cross the line? Did I call him anything?
No.
Did I say, hey, by the way, I slept with your wife last night?
No.
Hey, you know, there's nothing like that.
I did make Jeter miss a ball once by saying, I got it, and
that
he stopped
was me.
Going for the
Where
ball.
Were you? Seated next to me?
I was not with you. I was with my wife.
Okay, we got to get some sources together because I got Bender as a witness. We're sitting down the third baseline. Sitting down the third baseline. It was opening day.
Angels dugout.
That was me. Oh, Angels dugout? I was down third baseline.
Angels
are on
the third baseline.
Right, and I made a girl cry. A Jeter fan. She's wearing a Jeter shirt. We need it. Wow.
I got it. The Jeter stops.
I said I got it. I said it like that.
Yeah.
Because if you say I got it, I got it. Everyone's used to that. You got to make it sound like a player is actually saying.
I got it. We need it with the deep voice. I did him with the deep voice. I got it. I got it.
And my recollection is I said I got it.
Yeah.
And then he stopped and the ball dropped right behind him. And so this is, you know, friends, as you grow older, I read a nice piece of wisdom literature yesterday that said anybody's insistence that their version of reality has to be true has some growing up to do. So I acknowledge I might be wrong. I might be wrong in this, but we need someone else to come in and say what actually happened. Because Steven's version is he did it. My version is I did it.
And what's to say that we both didn't do it?
Is Jeter that bad? I think Jeter's that cool that I doubt
I've seen Jeter miss some
balls. I love Jeter. I hate the Yankees, and I love Jeter.
Jeter's been prone to...
Well, this was a long time ago.
And mine was more recent.
How strange.
Yeah.
What if they're both true? Okay, again, part of the maturity thing, what if they're both true? So just, you know, don't ever get so tied to your reality that it causes irreparable harm.
Wow, you're preaching to people to not get tied to reality.
I am open to being wrong, Steven.
Okay, well, let's move on. Indianapolis Colts president... Bill Polian changed his stance on the
18
game.
We went
schedule.
To all the Latin. We went to Latin. We said it was a fait accompli, and we may not even be right about it being Latin. And now he's backpedaling.
Well, I guess he got a lot of grief.
It's not a fait accompli. It's a fait apart accompli. Yes, it's now a fait apart accompli.
Well, the commish came to talk to him. Roger Goodell, speaking on Sirius NFL Radio.
Sirius?
That's right. Told, explained Bill Polian's comments to host John Madden.
What's to explain about fait accompli stated twice? It's a done deal.
Well, let me read to you what Goodell had to say.
I just love this. We're spinning something that someone says with absolute certitude.
Here's Goodell speaking. He said, I spoke to Bill. He called me yesterday to clarify his comments. And I'll let Bill speak for himself because he's good at it. Because Bill's been working with us on what we need to do if we do want to go to an enhanced season.
Enhanced.
What we would need to do is to make sure we continue to keep the game strong. There's a right way and a wrong way of doing this. And I think we're doing this the right way. Now, what Bill said, I'm not sure.
So he's not backing off anything that Bill said, aside from saying Bill speaks very well. And I'll let Bill clarify his remarks. In other words, Bill, go fix this.
No. He goes on to say, I don't think it's a done deal at all until we have found the right way to keep the game strong and to allow us to continue the game.
And I would have said, excuse me, Commissioner Goodell, it may not be a done deal, and I appreciate your clarification, but is it a fait accompli?
And that's why you're not interviewing Roger Goodell.
I like the commissioner. This is probably from my point of view as a fan, the most popular commissioner, honestly.
He's awesome. He's a rock star.
Okay, so I love
He's a rock star.
I love Commish. Okay. Yeah. But I still would have if we had been one on one, I would have said, So it's not a done deal, but is it a fait accompli? And he would have laughed if it would have been one on one, but I would not have done that in an interview. That would have been inappropriate.
Right.
But it's pretty funny. What else does that mean?
Our buddy Jason LaConfora, who is busy man, says that the New York football Jets have foiled the Ravens' plan. Basically, the Ravens released free agent defensive end Trevor Price. Jeffrey, and guess who signed him up?
The Baltimore Ravens?
No. They released him.
The New York Jets.
That's right. The Jets. The Jets picked up defensive end Trevor Price. Price played for Rex Ryan, obviously,
right,
in his defense. And so, you know,
anybody who played for Rex defensively loves him.
I think what the Ravens were trying to do is they tried to release him. They were going to clear a roster spot, bring somebody else in, and then maybe re-sign
him. They hoped
he
cleared waivers.
And Jets were like,
I don't think so. We may not have a role for him right now, but you can't have him. Isn't that often the way it goes?
I think divisional rivals. I think with Rex Ryan, he will insert him into his defense. Remember, they lost. They had a loss of Chris Jenkins on the defense of the season with the knee injury.
And Asuwine Obabuaga has been stepping in nicely. He has.
Paua?
Bauga.
Okay. Paua is his last name.
According to the media guide, the exact pronunciation was Boo-oo-ga-ga. Booga. This was what they had given us in the press box, Stephen.
Okay.
That's why I wrote it in my little. It's because it starts with a P,
yeah.
They felt the need to write out phonetically how it's pronounced.
No, right.
So I wrote in my little reporter's notebook, Boo-oo-ga.
Okay.
And then I just said it really fast in case I screwed it up when I was interviewing Ryan and just said, say une buaga.
Okay.
And he was happy with it, and he didn't correct my pronunciation or mispronunciation, as the case may be. But anyways, you're right. They lost Chris Jenkins, and Buaga has been trying to perform the role of nose tackle in that 3-4 defense.
And so picking up Trevor Bryce, it's good for them.
Especially if he's played for Ryan.
The Ravens, it's like, ooh, yeah. I don't know if
Well, look, you put him on waivers. That's always a possibility.
They released him outright. It was no waivers.
Well, then, der. Yeah, okay, that's all I got to say. Der.
All right, Jeffrey, this is what you alluded to.
You don't get a good old boy for this.
Just a good old girl.
Just a good old girl.
Never meaning no harm. It beats all you ever saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day she was born.
It was not Osgood. It was his girl.
It was a girl that he was seeing. Let's not insinuate that a 30-year-old man is hanging out with a 19-year-old girl. Let's not insinuate right. that. They were.
Okay.
They have a mentoring all relationship, right. probably. Not.
I've known 30-year-old men to
I've date known 40-year-old men to date women. Younger girls.
Jerry Seinfeld.
And the more money you have, the more frequently common this seems to become.
Jerry Seinfeld. Wasn't he 40 when he married a 20-year-old?
Well, so what's his name from the show about the guy who played the counselor who had the... Had the his office in his house, and then did.
Yeah,
come on, you know the kids and the mom, and he was a shrink, and he had his. Anyways, he hooked up with a girl before she was even. He paid all of her expenses, and she moved in with him, and she was an up and coming starlet.
Wow,
and she was like 16, 17, and Trisha's gonna scream she was 18 because Trisha's friends with her.
Let's just say Osgood, and this young lady.
This young lady has a name, Mackenzie Ray.
Okay, Mackenzie Ray.
Poutnall.
Okay, Mackenzie Ray. And they were sitting up on the second floor watching TV.
Just chilling.
Chilling.
Just watching TV.
Well, in comes 20-year-old Julian Armand Bartello with a gun.
Barteto.
Can't believe it's...
Bartelto.
To. It's two T's, not two L's.
Bartelto.
Tells... Tells Mackenzie, I can't believe you're with this dude. Proceeds to pistol whip her and then pistol whip Osgood.
And Julian's 20 years old, the young man who comes to the 19-year-old Mackenzie's house and says, what up with this? You hanging out with this old geezer?
Now, according to sources...
Well, this story broke in fan house, AOL fan house.
She went down and got a gun.
Oh, I haven't read this part of the story. I want to know how it is that Kasim ended up with a gun.
No, he never had the gun.
Bull crap. According to Fanhouse, shots were exchanged.
Between the guy and
the
Mackenzie.
Girl? Oh, they no shot wonder at each Osgood other. Jumped out a
he
second story
out the
window.
Second window took off.
And he went to a neighbor's house and called
and
the
called
cops.
Him. That's exactly it. But he
well,
never
thank
had
goodness.
Gun.
I'm glad.
Yeah, he never had the gun. He's okay. Everyone's okay.
Jeez.
Because the girl fired at the guy fired at the girl. They missed each other.
And something about young people and guns and heat of the moment, you're not going to hit what you're aiming for. So don't have guns.
Yeah. I just want to know why you're hanging out with a girl who needs to be packing.
Yeah, seriously. And you're in Baltimore.
Why are you with a girl who's packing? That, hey, the first thing I learned, I was in college. Girl packing, I'm out. Car, I'm out. You packing heat? I love you, but I got to go. See you later.
Steven, you're not a gun guy.
It don't matter. It don't matter. I'm not a gun guy. You don't have to be
a
gun guy.
I am a gun guy.
If you're with a girl and she's packing heat, get out the door.
There's a story and there's a reason she's packing heat. And you know what? I'm not interested in
exactly.
either.
If she's packing heat, you know, you got some baggage. And I'm not all into the baggage right now. So I love you, but I got to go. And I'll see you when I see you.
So here's the quote I have from Fanhouse, AOL Fanhouse. I can't believe you're with that guy. And then he attacked Osgood and Poutnall, including striking them with a gun, holding it to both their heads, and hitting the girl's dog. And Putnell eventually ran and was chased by Bartolo, and the two exchanged gunfire. Good. Okay, so yeah. Really,
Osgood never had the gun.
Thank goodness, because that's the last thing he needs in this nightmare. Osgood jumped
like,
out of the window.
If you're reading a report that says he had a gun, they're wrong.
Osgood,
he never
for
gun.
Some reason, I didn't read it as carefully as I should have.
Okay.
That never happens, though. Osgood jumped out the window and ran to a neighbor's house where he called the police. Bartolo fled, but was found at his home and arrested. He now faces charges of aggravated battery, false imprisonment, armed robbery,
Bartoletto
burglary, violation of an injunction. I like this one. Violation of an injunction. That means he had a restraining order already.
Now, here's a little
interesting. That's why she had the gun, Steven.
He had a
she's with
her?
A psycho okay. boyfriend who she's broken up with, and she's had to go get a gun because she's had to get a restraining order. I'm just giving you
so
a little better.
So here's a little twist is that the Jaguars aren't commenting on the status of Putnell, who the sources believe she may be a cheerleader for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, that's interesting.
And fraternizing between cheerleaders and players
is discouraged.
Is not good.
Is it disallowed?
Well, it depends. Every team has their own rules. Okay. I know for the DCC, it is not allowed.
And that'd be the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, the
yes.
DCC.
Well,
wow, there's
what?
Some jargon there.
I got some insight there with them. You know,
there's some jargon.
You know,
I mean, often imitated, never duplicated.
That's them. That's the DCC.
I don't got any issue with that. That's their phrase,
yes.
And the fact is, it's true.
Yes.
You know, having seen all the cheerleaders in the league now, personally, that's not true, but I wish. And, you know, nobody beats the DCC. I can't call them that. I'm not.
Yeah, you're
not
down with
the
DCC?
I'm not fly enough.
Okay, you got to be from Texas, I guess.
I guess so.
In Texas, you say DCC, everybody knows what you're talking about.
Everyone goes, hello. Where?
Where? Did you? They're coming here.
Now? Cancel my lunch, Veronica.
Yeah, so it's it depends on the teams, but still, it's just me. But guys out there, if you're listening, if she's packing heat, take a rain check. Say, you know, once you take care of all the baggage that you got going on in your life
that requires you to have a gun,
to carry a gun or have a gun, then call me back. But right now, I'm good.
No, see, a woman who has a gun. I just hope that she clearly wasn't trained well enough to hit him, which is too bad because this guy sounds like a real psychopath.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, he pistol whips him. And my story said he had a bag on his head when he came in.
Yes, that is what I heard.
This is psycho.
Yeah.
This is psycho boyfriend gone wrong. And Kasim, do not get involved in psycho situations. That's the danger of young people.
You got to know the deal, man.
You know, before Didi and I started dating, that led to marriage.
Did you do a background check on her?
I stalked her.
You were a stalker.
Well, it's stalk in the sense of we lived in the same dorm. You don't know.
And she married you.
She knows this
Didi,
story.
What's
she knows
up,
this
sweetie?
Story. She doesn't
come
listen
on,
to the
man.
Show, so it's okay.
Oh, so
but
I
she knows this story.
I'm gonna call her right now on the phone.
She knows the story. She went on a date with a guy because he had a lot of money. And he had a Corvette, and they were going down to... So we were in school in Santa Barbara, and he was going down to the Hollywood Bowl, and he had a box at the Hollywood Bowl and a Corvette, and he asked her to go. And so she's like, yeah. And we were just buddies at the time, but we had dated briefly, but we were not together. And so I sat up all night peeking out the curtains waiting for her to come home.
Wow. That is stalker.
It is, but it was like she lived across the hallway from me.
Yeah.
So I didn't like have to leave and go hide in the bushes or anything. I just sat on the back of my couch and peeked out the curtains. And to see mostly if she was going to kiss him goodnight. That's all I wanted to know.
I'm very glad that I can say I've never really
stooped that low.
Yeah, done that.
Well,
ever.
There you go. Well, because girls don't.
Look, either a girl was into me or she wasn't. It's very easy with Steven Miranda. Either the girl's into you or she's not.
And she wasn't into
me
or him.
Cool. I don't have to worry about it. If she's not, you know what? There are plenty of other fish in the sea.
She wasn't into either one of us. It was just it was a nice thing down in Hollywood, and he has a nice car, and he was a nice guy. And she went, but I just had to know if she was going to kiss him. I had to know.
You had to
know. Because I had kissed her, and guys get a little crazy once they have kissed a girl. It's like, she's mine. We become very animalistic.
Nobody
like we peed on something.
Nobody else can kiss her ever.
ever. And that's why I had to marry her. Just to stop this insanity.
Stop kissing other guys. Marry me.
There you go. And it's worked.
Well, there you go.
Except for that one thing, but you know.
Except for that one time. I'm sorry I kissed your wife, dude.
You kiss my wife all the time, which is fine. We're family.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. Before we get Rich on the show, Jeffrey, anything else?
Ray Rice said he's going to practice Thursday, and he expects to play against the Steelers on Sunday.
Ah, speaking of Ray Rice and the Baltimore Ravens, Ben Roethlisberger was having a chat with Ray Lewis, and Ben told Ray that if there was one game that he is really just wishing he could be a part of.
This game's huge.
And if there was ever a time where he didn't mind getting a Ray Lewis sack sandwich, it would be this week. And he can't believe that he has to miss this Baltimore Ravens game.
Well, maybe he doesn't want to. Maybe he's not gonna.
What do you mean?
Well, Ray, maybe he's maybe he's gonna be there.
No, I'm talking about Ben Roethlisberger talking to Ray Lewis.
Saying that if there's a game I could be at, this would be it. You're right. And you know what? He's gonna feel like the bottom of the goo that gets stuck to your shoe, watching from his home or from a sports bar.
What if the Steelers pull it out? What if he comes back to a 4-0 team and Charlie Batch plays so well this week against the Ravens that he comes back and they're like, yeah, we're gonna go with Batch for a while?
I don't know. That should segue us to the games, because the Michael Vick conversation, I heard a lot of interviews with Vick. He's not generally as politically correct as Vick, but he's pretty darn close. He's grown up a lot, and he doesn't give people bulletin board fodder, and he doesn't give people material that's going to necessarily come back to haunt him. So I don't know how he's going to handle it. I suspect he'll do and say all the right things. What will he really be feeling? That gets us to the Donovan McNabb story, where no one's going to get inside his little head and his little heart.
Yeah,
he's going to play all of his cards close to his chest.
And the truth of the matter is that right now, Donovan and Andy Reid and Mike Vick and everybody's saying what you're supposed to say.
Yeah, but I cannot wait to be at the link.
Yeah, this is just another game. It's just another game.
It's so not.
Skidabop, skidabop, skidabop. And nah. You can say that.
Yeah.
You can say that to me.
Yeah.
But I know deep down inside, you want to go out there in Philly and you want to smoke their butts and you want to win. As a matter of fact, when we get to that pick, I'm going to surprise you.
I'm looking forward to that. One of the things that I am, and mind you, just to put this on your radar, I have the challenge game pick this week.
Yes, you do.
Because you were the smartest man live last week.
I don't care.
So don't be stupid.
I'm not missing from
don't
here on
be
out.
Stupid.
I'm not missing.
You're going
from
16-0.
Out.
I doubt it.
No, I would be 14-0 because there's two less games.
I'm going 16-0. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to make those teams on a bye play each other. I'm going to pick them, and I'm going to pick them right. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Okay. Whew. All right. I'll be
it
fine.
Is all.
I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine.
To get one.
Fine.
All right. Well,
but one of the things I want to ask Rich on this note as we transition to the game is at
we're
what
not transitioning.
Point,
we're getting Rich first. We're getting Rich in before the game.
Okay. All well, right. Then maybe he can answer me this question. Riddle me this, Batman.
Save the question.
How and when do you take coach speak and just let it be? And when do you finally go in for the kill and say, enough is enough? How do you really feel about this? Because everyone seems to want to just be okay with the party line and saying the right thing. At what point do you blow it up and push the issue as a reporter?
Well, with that in mind, let's get to him now.
Joining us right now, Rich Eisen, host of NFL Game Day Morning, NFL Game Day Highlights, NFL Total Access on NFL Network. This Sunday, NFL Game Day Morning features Rich Eisen along with the NFL Network analyst Jim Mora, sitting down with Eagles quarterback Mike Vick and Steve Mariucci, do one-on-one with Andy Reid, which should be fantastic. Eisen is also the author of the book Steven and I Adore, NFL Total Access,
That's
A Journey
right.
to the Center of the NFL Universe.
We'll have some questions about that.
Available in paperback. Go to Amazon.com, pick up a copy, as we've told you guys multiple times. Eisen is also host of his own self-titled podcast, The Rich Eisen Podcast, posting each week on Tuesday evenings, featuring notable names in sports and entertainment talking football. This week's podcast featured Saints quarterback Drew Brees, actor Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Rich, welcome to the show.
How do you have time, Rich? How do you have time, buddy?
I just plug along as best I can, you know? I mean, it's football season. I'll sleep when it's not. And that's usually very busy when it's not either. But
as is detailed in your book.
Yeah, it never stops, right?
It doesn't. And that's, to me, the thing that was so fascinating about your book is it basically breaks down the 1 week a year where it's quiet. Out of a 52-week calendar year, there's only 1 week that it's kind of quiet and you could go on vacation. The rest of the time, forget about it.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, I mean, it's a great world that we live in, isn't it? the football world that we're
for
just
such a
constantly...
short. The sport is so short in its duration, and yet it encompasses the entire calendar year with really interesting activity.
Yeah, I mean it's. And they're trying to, you know, expand it right now as well, which I'm all for. Any expansion of the football calendar is something I'm completely locked in about. So it's just it's something that obviously other sports, I think, you know, envy. It's my job to continue to raise all those boats. You know what I mean?
Rich, yeah. What do you say to people like myself who say maybe 18 games just a little too much with all the injuries and pulling back maybe some of the players, some undrafted free agents who may not get a chance to make a name for themselves in the training camp?
Well, I think they'll still be able to make a name for themselves in training camps. And, there'll be still two preseason games, one of which will be a complete dress rehearsal for the starters, and one of which will be one which the starters won't even take the field. You know what I mean? So it'll be just like if there are two preseason games, they'll just like be preseason games 3 and 4, you know, that we currently see, as opposed to games 1 and 2. So I still think there'll be people out there. I know general managers and other folks who are in the talent evaluation business don't like having fewer game action opportunities for guys in which to prove themselves. Peyton Manning told me on our show that he thinks Jeff Saturday would not have been able to prove himself one day back in the day if there were fewer preseason games. But you know, the bottom line is this: fans don't want to see 4 preseason games. It's just that simple.
Right.
And fans don't want to be charged for it either.
Absolutely.
Let's be honest. And so what does the league do about that? If there's an issue between the league and the union, as you know, there is about this collective bargaining agreement, and the best easiest, most bloodless solution is to enlarge the pie that's being split up, and the players keep relatively around the same percentage of revenues that they're supposed to get. And what that means is 2 extra games, and that does put the athlete's body on the line for 2 extra games. Perhaps the off season gets reconfigured too, where there is no off season workout program that starts in the early March and runs through late April. That there will not be 12 organized team activity days that players are quote unquote
voluntary.
It's a voluntary thing for them to come to, and then the culture gets changed that voluntary doesn't mean mandatory. You know,
right.
These are all things that that need to be addressed by the NFL and the players' union. And I think it's not just okay, there's going to be 18 games and everything else is the same. That's just not going to be the case. That they're looking at absolutely everything to reconfigure everything so that players are perhaps more fresh when the season starts, that they're not constantly under the microscope of a coaching staff and required to be at a certain spot, that they have a lot more leisure time to themselves, and that coaches do not penalize them because they're not at a voluntary activity.
Terrific.
But the place is still open for them to go work out if they want to.
All right, Rich. So real quickly, the book, NFL Total Access, Journey to the Center.
Yeah, we're journeying to that center.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're journeying, and we want to know about that center. You've obviously been there at the forefront, the face of the NFL, since the inception of NFL
Network. Just
so
you know, we introduced you, Rich, as the demigod of all football. Because you are the face. You are the face.
I'll take that, Seth. I'll take that. I appreciate that.
We've got Lock and Four was the East Coast.
East Coast NFL BMOC.
BMOC.
And
Sam
okay.
Farmer is the West Coast BMOC because he doesn't have a team to follow, so he has to.
So I'm further up the depth chart.
You are the quarterback. You are the franchise of the franchises.
Thank you.
There you go.
I'll take it from you.
So in that book, you started with the convention, which I had never heard the Super Bowl referred to as the convention.
I've heard of the Silver Convention. Don't get me wrong. Fly, right. Robin, fly.
Could you explain your reasoning behind?
Yeah, sure. Because it is a convention. That's why it's a football convention. It's just like any business that pulls into a town for a week and holds its main meetings and main events in a convention center, as the Super Bowl does every year. The media, that's where the media emanates from or works from, is a convention center. And that's where you find most of the NFL officials, in a convention center. Then players and folks from all around the country come to the city to celebrate a particular aspect of the weekend, whether it's a team or it's just the game itself, or you just want to be part of all the events that go along with the football pulling into this one particular town. That's what a convention sounds like to me.
Well, what I would like to hear sometime, it will never work with your schedule as it stands now, but Stephen and I have been to all the International Series games, and we're the face kind of American football overseas right now for the UK.
Right, we're covering the sport for Sky Sports News.
When we're there in Wembley, it feels much like you're describing, only on a smaller scale. There is mm-hmm. fans representing every single team. It's like the United Nations of football. And I wonder if you would be able to ever, and it can't happen, but if you did, I wonder if it would feel similar that the NFL universe is kind of coagulating right here, right now, in this moment. But it's unfortunately just a brief one. The Super Bowl, I can't imagine the scale that it must be so much bigger on.
You know, I mean, I don't know if it can get any bigger than it currently is, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, it takes over an entire town, you know, and rock legends come and perform in it, and each day gets bigger than the day before. And, you know, I mean, if they ever hold it on an international stage, I don't even know if it would have the same oomph as it does. It's the number one sporting event in the United States. And, you know, I still think the World Cup is the number one sporting event in the world.
Yeah.
But,
all our UK listeners are going to love hearing you say that, Rich.
Well, it's true.
The truth,
but
though.
Let me tell you, I've seen a Super Bowl in Vietnam. I've seen a Super Bowl in China. And let me tell you, it's weird getting up at that hour and watching it, but people watch. That's all there is to it.
Oh, I'm sure they do. I'm sure
the numbers
they do.
Are
but
huge.
I mean, when it comes to World Cup soccer,
yeah,
I mean,
no,
even
trust
I,
me.
Even I, you know, whose job it is to talk up the sport and keep the awareness up and inform people and try to sate their insatiable appetite for the sport. Even I will admit, I mean, when there's a World Cup final, I mean, I don't think it stops as many people in as many towns across the globe as you know, the Super Bowl doesn't do that. But you can still obviously see it all across the world. And the NFL is trying to, you know, raise its popularity in the international level. The London game sells out every year. I think that they will eventually have two games in London with the 18-game format. And then perhaps that just emanates from there across the European continent. You know, I know Germany is a big NFL
Australia
spot as well. So, you know, hopefully it will get to that point. And if so, then maybe NFL Total Access goes global. Maybe we have that global reach.
That'd be fantastic.
Well,
because
Rich,
when they've gotten a taste overseas of NFL Total Access, they understand what we talk about. Because for Stephen and I, it's on our TVs all the time. The families just have accepted that television, actually, we only get one channel in our house, and that's NFL Network.
Right.
And that's the way it should be. I've got a question.
Yeah, you should rip the knob off, for sure.
Yeah, there's
good for you guys.
The clicker is hidden, and the kids can't find it. There will be no Dora.
One more question, Rich. So what do you feel that the convention is going to be in a cold weather town like New York in a few years?
New York, New Jersey.
It'll be a big party. I mean, I'm a native New Yorker. I think it will transform the island of Manhattan. I think it really will. And there's really very few events that do that. But I think this one will. I think this is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime situation. I don't know if they'll ever do it again. Certainly if it snows like crazy and airports get shut down, they won't ever do it again. But just to give it a whirl, a sort of an old-school feel, see what it's like. I think the only issue will be if the game is a little bit out of reach in the third and fourth quarters. You never really ever see empty seats at a Super Bowl, which you may if it's like 10 degrees out, people might leave the stadium. But other than that, I'm very excited about it. I still think most people will go to it, see what it looks like in a New York City, but the party scene will be off the charts, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
The stadium, from what I'm told, is beautiful.
It is.
And it'll be something, me as a native New Yorker, I never thought I'd ever see, and it'll be something to behold. I'm looking forward to it.
One of the things you'll be very happy to know, the press box has very thick glass.
So,
is that right?
yeah, we'll be very comfortable.
I don't do the press box, guys. I go to the luxury suite.
Well, I imagine
that's how I roll.
The glass.
I mean, you called me a demigod. I mean,
NFL demigod.
I'm not going to sit in the press box or Super Bowl.
Well, I assume they put you on with little cameras and hover over the field, and you just have a joystick and go wherever you want.
Yeah, like a hologram. Maybe exactly. I could be a hologram type figure above the field.
That's Rich, we respect your time, and we thank you for giving us so much of your time.
Oh, you got it, guys.
We appreciate it.
I appreciate your ranting and raving over my book. I appreciate it.
We love it.
And the podcast as well. Hopefully you'll tune into the podcast that I started this year, and you can check it out on iTunes or on my new blog page that NFL.com set up for me, richeisen.nfl.com. And I've really enjoyed getting all these guys together, like football players like Drew Brees, Ray Lewis, Aaron Rodgers have joined me already, and the folks like Strahan and Dan Patrick and Larry David, Dennis Miller is going to join me next week to just talk about the NFL and our mutual love for it. So far the reaction's been pretty good. So I hope to continue to build that.
Well, if you ever need to coach him up on podcasting, let us know, because we've been at it a little longer than you.
6 years.
I got you.
Okay. You got our number.
I'm always open for suggestions.
And
we'll give you
coach him up whenever you need it. just feel free.
Rich Eisen, folks, NFL Network, our NFL demigod. Encompassing the NFL.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Great stuff there with Rich Eisen's. Man, it's amazing. He took some time out for us, Jeffrey.
Total access. Go out to Amazon.com, buy it right now, or you're not really a fan of us.
That's right. Go check it out. Total Access, A Journey to the Center of the NFL Universe.
Great read. Steve and I have both read it.
We're gonna ask him one of these days to let us go into the center with him, because we've never been in the center.
Well, Steve, in the center of the NFL universe, frankly, scares me.
Does it? It doesn't scare me.
The center? I mean, we're getting...
I am not scary.
We're on the perimeter.
You're scary, dude.
We're on the perimeter. I'm not scary. We're on the perimeter right now, and the perimeter is very comfortable, but there's a lot of new things we're learning, right?
I see. So you got some issues with yourself going in the center. There's nothing scary in the center.
Come on, there's nothing scary in the center.
This is the center of the
He's going to have to go face his father and his demons and cut all the things down and kill Lord Vader.
You still got Star Wars on your mind for some reason.
You talk about going to the center, deep in the center. There's got to be scary things in there. It's in Dagobah. It's in Dagobah. It's in Dagobah, dude.
No, it is, no.
Master Yoda says not to go.
Yeah, Master Yoda.
Go you will, regret you will.
I should have never shown you. Nacho should have never sent you those commercials.
He should not have sent me the TomTom commercials, which are hilarious. YouTube, TomTom.
Rich Eisen, thank you very much for joining us.
Let's get to the games, and
we're going to start off with the big one.
El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana.
That has been a long time coming, Steven. We haven't been able to say that a long time.
Week 4 starts us breaking out the games. In this game, there's none bigger than Washington Redskins and the return of Donovan McNabb to face his old team, the Philadelphia Eagles.
This is a late game that will be on, I believe, CBS Sports.
No,
it's on Fox. It's a Fox game. Sorry.
Fox game.
And it will also be the late game on Sky. And Sky's got us doing a little thing, so we're going to do our regular
spots.
We're
going to do a little thing with Sky.
Well,
and
we're,
then another
we're gonna,
little thing with Sky Sports.
Exact. Well, so what we're going to do is we're going to do
another
radio.
Little thing with Sky Sports Radio.
We're going to do radio tomorrow. I'm just trying to get the facts. The facts. Yeah. Just the facts, Jim.
Right.
I'm a doctor, not a fact checker. So tomorrow we got radio at about 8:15, 8. Just be on the air listening to Sky Sports News Radio around 8 o'clock UK time. And then we got TV in the next half hour on Sky Sports News. Sky Sport News. Then we're going to record a little bit that they're going to run just before this game kicks off. Or they're going to run it kind of every hour. So we're just going to do a little minute recorded segment to get people to tune in. Because this game is so huge.
It is huge. It's El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana.
And we haven't had one of those in how many weeks? How many months?
A lot of months. But anyways, the Washington Redskins come to town with a new quarterback coming off a very disappointing loss at the hands of the St. Louis Rams. And it's not good to lose to the Rams because, as our friend Ed O'Neill
Son,
says,
this game is important. The Bears are playing the Rams, and if you lose to the Rams, you get thrown out of the league.
Now our
sources
from inside the center of the NFL universe have said that there was actually discussions about getting the Washington Redskins out of the league.
Until they realized this was the next game on the schedule. Yes. And they said it would tank the ratings. This has been, since the schedule was first released, nearly every set of eyes that cares went to, where is Washington going to Philly? Oh, look, week four.
Well,
boom,
I think
circle.
First, you know, you cared about your team first a little bit. And you circled
well,
your team.
Well, I didn't have a team yet.
I see.
So my eyes
and
went
then,
here.
Yes, and then you went to Washington and Philly.
And you're like, oh, that's going to be amazing. And for Steve and I was like, we have to be there. Yes. We will be there.
You know, we were there for the return of Brett Favre to Green Bay.
Absolutely. And that so was amazing.
It was amazing.
And, I mean, and Steve, I got chills. Look at this.
Oh, he's got chills.
I'm back in Lambeau Field feeling
maybe
the force.
Maybe it's just we've got a nice, cool air-conditioned house because it's so friggin' nice. Hot outside.
It is. But it'll change. It's always hot a little bit in the beginning of October and then fall.
But here it goes, and I'm not going to waste any time making
Say
my
it.
Pick.
Say it.
Right here, I am going to take the Washington Redskins.
Man.
I don't care how great Michael Vick is playing football. I don't care how good the Philadelphia Eagles have looked, and I don't care that Philly is at home. Everybody in that Redskins locker room is going to be so super focused to make sure that Donovan McNabb goes in there and sticks it to the Eagles. This is one of those revenge games.
Stick it to
this
the man.
Is one of those games where I don't care that Donovan McNabb is saying it's just another game on their schedule. You may say that to the public, but deep inside, you know you want to go out there and you want to kick their booties. You want to hand them a 37-13 beatdown. And that is what the Redskins are going to do. That's not my final score prediction. I think it's going to be a close game. But in the end, Donovan McNabb is going to make enough plays to go back into Philly and say, you know what? You made a mistake. You made a mistake with saying Cobb was the guy. Look, he's not even your guy anymore. You see who should have been your guy? Right here. Boom. And it gives him a loss. And I dare you to make it the challenge game.
I very likely will. We've got to get through the rest of them and see if there's some garbage games we disagree on. But given that we're going to – see, here's the problem. We're going to be in the press box at Lincoln Financial.
Little monster inside does the dancing, Jeff.
That's what Steven – he's trying to sell me on this idea that we can create inside each of us – imagine seahorses – and we can create inside each of us a little spot where we can do celebrating and turn back handsprings and scream our brains out inside.
Yeah.
And our poker face says, look.
I had to learn on the fly. I was in San Diego.
Well, and he blew
Chargers
it.
Cowboys.
Fumble!
No, I only yelled one fumble. You hit me. And at that point, I was like, little inside monster.
I need to create him now. He's done. He's created.
And so there you go. I learned on the fly because I'm looking through the binoculars, and I was on the field, and the dude fumbled the ball.
You were in the
ball.
Press box, and it was the binoculars but that made you feel like you were down there.
And I saw the ball come loose.
Bumble!
One fumble. And then you slapped me on the knee, and I was like, that's right. I'm in the press box.
I am neutral. I am Switzerland. I do not care what happens.
It was a fumble to that benefited the San Diego Chargers. So yeah. I
Steven gets excited about fumbles, period.
I love fumbles.
Yeah, me too.
Fumbles
Why?
Are great.
Again, I come back to one of the first practice segments we did for television. We actually fumbled the ball on the table to demonstrate how this is not like any other sport. Because even in rugby, the ball is roundish. It's a squishy round.
Right.
But an NFL ball is so, it's pointed at the ends.
Yes.
Which means that ball could go anywhere. And that makes the game wacky. That makes it rock and roll. I mean, it really does. It adds a certain level of insanity and unpredictability to the game.
So I don't know if you've noticed, anyways, in the last two games that we were in the press box, during an interception or a fumble or a crucial play,
Steve would go, nice.
No, I would not. But there might have been a shift in my body.
Okay.
And that's the inside monster that is
taking note,
yes,
and having his celebration.
Oh, he was loving it inside.
Yeah. Okay.
And inside I'm loving it. Or not loving it, depending on the situation.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I mean, given we were watching the Giants and the Panthers and we were watching the Jets and the Ravens,
yes,
we didn't have a vested interest necessarily.
Nope.
And, aside from our picks and things. And it's just fascinating. This week, though, you know, Matt Mosley, God bless him, used to write for the Dallas Morning News, and that's how we got to know him
right.
when he was a beat writer for the Cowboys and was out in Oxnard training camp with the Cowboys, one of the neatest guys. And so it's really cool when good things happen to good people.
He's moved on.
And he's moved up. I mean, that's the point. He's moved up to ESPN. And he wrote a fantastic piece in his blog. I strongly encourage anyone to get out there and read it on ESPN.com. Look up Matt Mosley's blog and read about this. Because he's an NFC East insider, he's following this game a lot more closely than most. And he understands this rivalries that are involved in the NFC East more than most. And he wrote the most cogent thing I've read. Because remember, one of my aching questions has been, why was Donovan never really accepted in Philadelphia? And people quickly come and say, no, Donovan was loved. I'm like, look, he was booed during when he got drafted. And, you know, he just never was embraced the way so many – the Philadelphia fans want to give their entire hearts to somebody. But they never did with Donovan. There was always a bit of a standoffish relationship. And Mosley speculated, and I think possibly accurately – that it was that Donovan didn't wear his heart on his sleeve, much like the city does. Donovan is a button-up professional, so after a loss, he'll have a little smirk on his face and say, well, you know, there's a lot of things we didn't get done this week, and we've got to get better, and we've got to go out. And he wants the Philly fans want to see somebody just break down and cry practically and say, gosh, I can't believe I blew that. And then they're like, yeah, we got your back, brother. We love you. But because he doesn't wear his heart on his sleeve, that was Mosley's thing, and I think he might be right. Because the Philadelphia fans are naturally drawn to the more emotional, gregarious, outgoing, and Donovan is just the opposite of that. So they've never really felt like they could get inside that shield that he puts up around him that is his professional facade that works really well if you're going to be a professional athlete. I think it keeps you safe. Rex Ryan being just the opposite of that, where you know exactly what he's thinking all the time. And so I was listening to Donovan's comments on the way into your place today to do the show, and Donovan sounded like Donovan. It's like, look, I he's got a deeper voice than even I've got, which is remarkable for someone to have a deeper voice than me. But you know, it isn't just another game. It's a game I care about a lot, and it's a game that's important to me. But again, he sounds like a businessman doing a sales presentation.
You cannot change who you are.
And that is who he is. But he acknowledged that this game was big. He acknowledged he's going to have emotion. And then he tried to make a joke and get people off topic and say, I just hope that I walk out of the right tunnel. You know, but that wasn't funny, Donovan, because everyone knows the magnitude of this game.
Well, I think part of the reason he was booed is I think Philly fans were interested in Achilles Smith and Edgerrin James.
Oh,
they
back in
were
that draft.
Taken right behind him.
Oh, especially Edge. I mean, people were all over that.
So when the Eagles announced with the number 2 pick, they're taking Donovan McNabb, everybody's like,
come on, man.
Yeah, that's not what we need, or at least that's what they thought they didn't need. But the bottom line is, I don't care what Philly fans say. This guy, for 10 years in the organization, took them to more playoff games, won more division championships, got them to more NFC championship games than anybody else.
And the fact is, I think the numbers bear themselves out, but I think he is the most successful quarterback in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles. People are going to want to come to the defense and say, hey, Randall Cunningham was one heck of a quarterback. And he was. But I don't think you compare stats. You compare who took you to division titles more frequently and things. And Donovan McNabb wins that hands down.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not sure what they wanted in Philly. They obviously got something great right now in Michael Vick.
And they've got some charisma in Vick.
But in the beginning, it was all about Kevin Cobb. And that lasted all of 15 plays.
15 minutes.
Okay.
He had 15 plays of fame.
15 plays, and then it was done. Unfortunately, he got a concussion. Mike Vick came out and fused some energy into that offense. And now it's Donovan McNabb going up against a guy who Donovan signed off of, let's bring Vick to the team.
So, Steve, we're going to get asked this a lot. Yeah, and I love that angle, by the way.
Yeah.
That it is Donovan that truly made it possible for Michael to come back into the NFL and find himself in a situation where he's making significant money and he's on a competitive team, and this is something that he could not have envisioned or even dreamed about while he was incarcerated for the dogfighting allegations, the dogfighting conviction.
Right.
I mean, this is a best case scenario for Mike Vick. And by the way, he's going to be a free agent at the end of this year where he can go and lead any team he wants
And it still may be this Eagles team. Who knows, depending on how things go.
And get some more money.
And get even more money than the $5 million a year that he's making. And it was Donovan that made that happen.
That's right. That's right.
These guys have the utmost care for each other.
It's going to be a great game.
But we're going to be asked all the time, Steven.
27-24.
Not the score. Washington. We're not going to be asked 20.
Oh, I'm sorry. 24. I'm telling you right now. 27-24.
Okay. I'm glad the prediction's out there on the table. I'm not ready to give a score. But we're going to be asked.
I give a score every week. Have you seen my scores, by the way?
I love what you do.
Trisha was like, man, you're missing by like 3-4 points on every game. I'm like,
that's right, woman. Look, we're moving to Vegas tomorrow. I'm quitting my job. You're quitting your job, and I'm just going to make things happen,
right,
if you know what I mean. We're dropping all of our NFL work because the NFL isn't real keen on gambling. And so I'm moving to Vegas. I'm becoming a full-time gambler. Period. End of story.
Wow, really? No, that's not true.
You know, it's funny. It's so easy to do from home. So anyways, the question that everyone's going to be asking is, what is the reception that Donovan is going to get in the stadium?
Yes. A lot of people.
And we're going to be, look, everyone's going to be wondering that. I'm wondering that. But I remember being there in Lambeau Field as Brett Favre took the field. The boos largely outweighed the cheers.
But that was a different situation with how Brett Favre left the Green Bay Packers. He came in and he was vilified by the Green Bay Packer organization. You know, and everybody said, you said it yourself, that he was hosting Green Bay hostage, holding them hostage. And so when he came back, everybody had all that media feeding him. Yeah, Green Bay, Brett Favre's coming back to Green Bay. The guy who, you know, made the big turmoil there with Green Bay at the end of his career, blah, blah, blah. And so he was vilified and boos came out. That's not how Donovan McNabb left the city of Philadelphia. He was not the villain. He was not vilified. He didn't, you know, hold the team hostage. It was just a decision that the front office and Andy Reid made that it was time to move on from McNabb.
And it's time to move on with Kevin Cobb. We don't need Donovan McNabb anymore. We're going young, and Donovan is clearly past his prime, and so we're going to go young. But we fear him so little and the Redskins that we will trade him to a divisional rival.
Yeah,
don't read anything into trading him to a divisional rival.
I think what you should read into them trading him to Washington.
The party line is it was a respect thing.
That's what
crap.
I believe. I believe that it was more
Steve,
respect.
If that team could beat you,
they had two options: Washington or Oakland.
And one team you hardly ever play, and one team you play twice.
And I think it
so
was
you trade
more
him to the
about,
team that you know won't hurt you.
I think it is. Well. No, I think that you take someone who you respect and you trade him to a team where he can probably go out and be competitive with, as opposed to sending him to football purgatory.
I don't know that the Washington Redskins have that many things going for them right now. And maybe they had more going for them at the time of the trade.
Yeah.
But that is a franchise that is clearly in rebuilding mode, and Oakland is perennially in rebuilding mode. So maybe it's just a brief rebuilding, and if you love him that much.
No, I don't think that it was like, we don't think of him that – so we think so little of him that he can go to Washington.
Because Washington can't hurt us, and we can beat him twice. And they're in our division. And you know divisional rivalries and divisional games are huge.
Regardless of how bad the Washington Redskins are, Redskins-Eagles games are always close.
That's right.
Are always tough. There are no blowouts. So
that's
I don't
why you
buy,
sent Donovan there.
I don't buy the I'm sending Donovan there because they can't beat us. Hello? They have beat you. Even when they're bad, they beat you. So that I don't buy that.
Okay, then why do you do that? Then that means Andy Reid's crazy?
No, they were trying to help out Donovan McNabb. They didn't want to create a situation where the Green Bay Packers had with Brett Favre and Brett Favre wanting to go to the Minnesota Vikings to stick it to you. That's not what it was for Donovan. He's like, look, please don't send me to Oakland, okay? That's not a team where I could be.
We ask that all the time. Please don't send me to Oakland.
That's not a team where I can go be competitive with.
Right.
All right. If that is the only team, if you're telling me that's the only team that will trade for me, fine. But if there are other teams, even if they're in the division, please consider it because I don't want to go to Oakland. I think that's more of what it was than. You know, we don't think he's any good. He's actually had some pretty good numbers. Did you see the passing day he had against the Houston Texans? That was huge.
Yeah, it was. And he still clearly has got it. He has got a cannon for an arm. He doesn't even need to be completely set with his feet to unload a deep ball. And he still can run some. So I like him a lot. But You know, I'm looking at Mosley's column right here from yesterday on ESPN.com. It's dated the 29th, if you have to go dig through the archives of the NFC East blog.
I was about to say, today's the 30th, Jeff.
I know.
The 30th. It's the last day of September.
And it's called No Closure for Donovan McNabb in Philly, and it's a fantastic article. Over the past 11 seasons, deserve more credit for wins and losses. It's a really good article. Reed once attempted to lure Aikman out of retirement when McNabb was injured early in his career. Aikman gave it some serious thought, but ultimately declined. I love this little story. And this, again, because Matt wrote for the Dallas Morning News for so long, he knows this. If you think it's hard to adjustment to think of McNabb in burgundy and gold, how do you think Aikman would have looked in green and white? That was a great observation. It's a great article. Go look it up, seriously, on ESPN.com.
All right, Jeffrey, here's the other thing on the defensive side of the ball. I think right now, obviously, you can take a look at the last game the Redskins played against St. Louis. The defense had some issues there, but I think they are playing some pretty good football. The defensive comparison as far as yards being allowed, passing yards, rushing yards being allowed, and third down conversion, they're pretty similar between the two teams. The thing about the Eagles is, I'm sorry, they've outside of the Green Bay Packers, the first game of the season, which they lost, they then played a couple cream puffs. Okay.
Cream puffs?
Yes.
Cream puffs.
They played the Detroit Lions, and they played the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars offense isn't scaring anybody right now, and the Detroit Lions actually came back and made it the game, wound up losing by only three. So the Eagles' defense isn't as stout as people are making them out to be. I like McNabb. I think he'll use his weapons. I think he'll come back into town. He gets the win.
Okay, I think actually just the opposite, and this doesn't surprise you, Steven. I'm going along with just the percentages, and I think the fact is the Eagles are a better team. The Eagles are at home. The Eagles are going to have enough emotion of their own to contend with. The weather I want to look up right now, because I know it's going to be cool there relative to here. The Lincoln Financial Field, October 3rd, zero chance precipitation, thank goodness. 64 degrees at kickoff. And the spread on this game, Philly is favored by a touchdown. And I believe in what Vic's doing.
If you are out there in the UK where you are allowed to wager on this game, you can win a lot of money. That's all I'm saying.
No, I don't disagree with the fact that I think this will be a really close game, because the emotion itself will dictate that this is a close game.
Right.
Period. Full stop. No blowout happening here. A touchdown is a lot of points.
Yeah.
So I would definitely go with Washington as far as the line goes. But as far as my pick, I'm standing by the Eagles.
All right. Let's move on now to, we have three of them this week, games of the week. All right. We'll start out in Pittsburgh, where the Ben Roethlisberger-less Pittsburgh Steelers host the Baltimore Ravens.
So much easier once you know the secret to saying Ben Roethlisberger less. Get Roethlisberger out first and then add the less. It's so much easier. So this game is the early game on Sky Sports, probably on Sky Sport HD2, and you will not want to miss this. This is the closest thing to a coin flip I can think of in recent memory, Steven. Two defensive juggernauts that are going to go smacking head-to-head into each other, and this is... For Charlie Batch, possibly his last game under center, because they go into their bye week, Pittsburgh does next week.
Might be his revival of
it
his
might
career.
Might be that guy that they always talk about his name, someone Schwartz, who used to be there for the shortstop for the Baltimore Orioles, Cal Ripken, the guy who took the day off, and then Cal Ripken came in and took his job and never gave it back. Wally Pipp. He was the shortstop for the Orioles before Cal Ripken came in, and 23 years later gave up the job.
Ah. Did they give it back to Pipp then?
Yeah, Pipp was dead.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Rumors and innuendos. So, you know, this game, it's brutal, Steven. It is brutal. It is so close on every single level. These offenses are not optimally tuned. These defenses are playing lights out. What do you do with that, Steven? Come on. Talk to me.
Well, what do I do here? I need to actually go and
look at your picks.
Re-verify my pick.
Now, Jeffrey, what is this site that you're picking from that's so much nicer than the ESPN
pick? That's the Peter King challenge.
Can ESPN put together something that nice?
I don't think so.
PK challenge? Because, look, I'm having to look at my pick as well, Steven, because I'm looking at it. Let's see. Where is it?
Well, I'm going against traditional wisdom here.
Yeah.
That's unusual.
Yeah, it is unusual. But I like the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. The Baltimore Ravens offense hasn't looked as crisp as I've wanted them to see. Yes, they put up 24 points on the Cleveland Browns last week, and it took three Anquan Boldin touchdown catches to do so. He's not scoring three times against the Pittsburgh
Steelers.
No, that
doesn't happen
again. All right.
Well, that doesn't happen again this season. But if you want him to look more crisp, right. I recommend that hotel pool in Vegas. You might get a little crisper there.
I'm going to try it next time I go to Vegas.
You burn, Steven, really easily.
Yeah, I know. I hate the sun. So we'll see what it
vampire.
Does to me.
The spread on this game is a Buffalo.
I would say a point.
Game. Well, we're not playing guess the spread
not,
as much.
But a point.
It is a point in favor of the Steelers.
Oh, I thought it was the other way, but okay.
In favor of the Steelers. It's Steelers by one.
So It's
look,
a field
you
goal
can
game.
See it anyway. This
it's
game
a
could
field,
go
it's
either
a field
way.
Goal game. I like the Pittsburgh.
I'm taking
Steelers
the Steelers
at
home, and that's me too, Steven. And that's exactly where I am. So
some,
I finally found
know the Steelers. Obviously, they put up a lot of points on Tampa Bay last week. They won't have that easy of a time this week with the Baltimore Ravens because the Baltimore Ravens do have a very good defense.
Phenomenal.
But if Peyton Hillis and the Cleveland Browns showed one thing against that defense, you can run against
You
them.
Can run against
them. He put up 140-plus yards of rushing on the Baltimore Ravens, and the Baltimore Ravens' run defense has been struggling this season.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers' running attack has been less than optimal.
Less than optimal?
Less than optimal.
It's been pretty good.
Mendenhall's been okay, but come on. We have not had a big bust out. This is your mom's Pittsburgh Steelers team that just puts it on the ground and runs for 150 yards a game. Not that you would ever be able to do that against the Ravens, but they don't even do that against anybody.
And not that my mom ever had a football team or a Pittsburgh Steelers football
team. No, but your
team.
Mom roots hard for football. Let's just be honest about that.
For the Dallas Cowboys, not for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ah, Stevie, the Cowboys look good. I love your mom. Man, I love your mom. Stevie, right. What's wrong with the Cowboys?
You know what? I've gotten that call. I've gotten that call this year.
Steven's mom actually believes that he somehow can influence how they play. And she's like, Stevie, fix that.
Well, you know what? And now in her mind, I've just fed that because I started the Dallas Cowboys Star Report again. And they won. And now she expects me to do it every week.
Every week because we're winning and we need to keep doing this because good things are happening.
Send them positive vibes, mijo. Okay, Mom.
So weather, it's getting fall, people. It'll be around 50 degrees at kickoff at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh, PA. Slight chance of precipitation. And, Steven, we're both going with the home team there.
We are both going. I can't believe you took the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're peaking.
I've seen the Ravens.
I think from here on out, you're going to match me on all my picks just so that we can make Washington, Philadelphia the pick.
What are you looking at right now?
I don't care
what are you looking
you
at right
there.
Now.
You can change them. You can change them. You could click right now. You could click.
Do you want me to do a screenshot?
Click it.
Do you want me to do a screenshot and get out of this page? Because I will.
I don't care. I don't
I'm
care.
I'm just saying that these picks are locked. Locked. You locked. Could persuade me on one or something. But I've come in here. You can ask me first, and I'll tell you once I actually find it. It takes me too long to find things. But once I do, I can do it. So let's get on to the next game, and I'll prove it. New England and Miami, let me tell you.
That's right. The Miami Dolphins hosting the New England Patriots.
Fortunately, there's fewer games to wade through. And in this one, let me tell you, Steven, I'm taking the Miami Dolphins. Ha!
Okay.
So there.
Why are you high-ing me?
Because I gave you my pick first. I made sure it got out there first so that we could be clear and that I'm not looking over your picks and not jacking them or anything like that.
Well, thank you for jumping in there. And thank you for taking Miami. You're going to lose, but thank you for taking Miami.
I'm assuming taking the other team. Yeah, who are they? The New England Patriots?
Yeah.
Is that who they're playing?
Wow. That's all they're worthy of. What is that team?
Well, let me tell you how Vegas feels about them. Las Vegas Hilton and the Mirage have it as a pick. And the Hard Rock and Planet Hollywood have the Patriots by a point. This is expected to be truly a game of the week, one that you don't want to miss.
It's one of those games where I still think people are giving the Miami Dolphins just a little too much credit.
Not their defense. Not their defense, Steven. No one can give their defense too much credit. They're playing outstanding defense.
They just got rolled by Mark Sanchez and the New York Football Jets.
Look, they put together a clinic, okay? I don't disagree with that, but I think...
Look, their defense is okay. it's not the fantastic be-all, great-all that everyone is saying that the defense is.
It's plenty good to frustrate Tom Brady. That is my point.
We'll
this
see.
Is divisional, again, the hatred like we talked about last week with the Jets and the Patriots. That was a very emotional game. And now, they come down to Miami. A tough road game, a tough place to play. And the weather, I don't even know what the weather's going to be like down there in Miami.
I don't like the Patriots. And in this game, I like the Patriots.
85 degrees with a chance of rain and thunder showers. That this, again, is not Patriot weather. And I just like the Dolphins to hold serve at home, Steven.
It's Monday Night Football, dude.
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay. First
Chad Henne will be a nervous
all,
wreck.
Somebody tell
he
me,
will throw up.
First of all, can somebody tell me why the Miami Dolphins have back-to-back national games? Sunday
well,
Night Football
that's
and
weird.
Monday Night Football.
They tend to draw well in the ratings. They do, for whatever reason.
Second of all...
and they're playing the Patriots, so come on. The Patriots are clearly the favorites in this. I don't disagree with
Henne,
that.
Henne, Brady.
Ben,
I'm going to go with Brady.
The law firm, Ronnie Brown. The law firm, Ronnie Brown. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. Ronnie Brown.
The Patriots
Ricky Williams,
have never been known
Fred
for
Taylor,
a solid running
Sammy
game.
Sammy Morris, Lusaka Polite. I'm just
have
saying.
Have never been known for a solid running game.
And they're not going to this week either. Wes Welker, Randy Moss, Aaron Hernandez, whom I still love in fantasy circles. People, he's still out there. I saw somebody actually released him to waivers, and I grabbed him. Yes, like that. And Brandon Marshall, Devon Bass, Brian Hartline, Anthony Fasano. Good enough is what I'm saying. Good enough.
All right. Hey, take your loss.
Take your loss. I'll take it like a man. Thank you. And don't think I won't be sitting here Saturday night wondering in our hotel room.
Calling me. Oh, you won't be
calling
me.
You. I'll be you'll waking like, you.
Make the change.
I'll be 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll wake him up.
We got to be at the stadium.
Steven, wake up. Steven, wake up.
Yeah.
We do need to know where to watch the morning games.
I'm making a new rule for you.
Yeah.
No changes past midnight on Friday night.
Midnight, Friday night. We're going to be on a freaking plane.
Exactly.
So what? I'm supposed to wake you up on the plane? You don't like to be woken up on the plane.
No, don't. Although I don't know if I'm going to sleep. Am I going to sleep? What,
Steven, I got premium economy and got us $100 worth of legroom for the two of us.
Okay, good.
So we'll actually be in our seats, or we'll recline where we are, and we'll be able to stick our legs out.
Nice.
Okay, so that's the best I could do. That's the best I could do.
It works. Because with my bum leg right now.
I know.
If
you don't get in the right position.
Yeah.
Steven wanted to tag out on this trip. He's like, I may not be able to make the trip because he's hobbling around. That's why you haven't been getting the updates on Steven's exercise thing, because the guy is like playing on one leg.
Well, I had the doctor forbid me.
He's forbidden.
Monday when we get back, I go in for an MRI.
It's MRI Monday. I told
it's
you.
MRI Monday. Just like most
just
NFL
like the
players. We'll be getting an MRI.
I'm sorry. We would be busy, but we don't have an NFL team.
Except unlike the players, you know, they get the MRI like boom. You know, right there and then.
We'll call you around December.
Yeah. Steven's like, well, you know, if it still hurts next week, we'll bring you in for an MRI. I'm like, dude, I can't put any pressure on it.
Steven is now ranting on the state of medical system here. And,
HMO.
And why it is that you have to, you get blood work. We'll get back to you in a few weeks, and we'll certainly let you know if we find anything. What does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean? I want to know the results of my blood work. Now, I bet you could find out sooner than 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's really weird.
We're going to do an MRI in your brain to find out if there's any brain damage, and we'll get back to you in a month with the results.
Come on!
Yes, you have to be wealthy in this country to get results right now.
I think you need to be famous. I think the wealthy, they tell them the same thing, and maybe the rich people push back a little and say, you better get them to me faster. But let's move on to the next game. So we got the Dolphins and the Patriots. We got a split there. That doesn't surprise me. I was pretty sure you were going to do the smart thing and take New England, and I was going to do the correct thing and take the Dolphins.
The New York Football Giants host the Chicago Bears.
The Chicago Bears. Now, no matter how much you love the hit bang, Steven, we only do segments. And this is we're in the games of the week segment now. It's hard to remember because it's been so long.
Each game doesn't get a hit bang. Because during the first 3 weeks, we did a hit back for every game.
Every single game. But now we're parsing them out and we are discriminating.
Now there's only a hit bang for the segment.
Exactly.
Okay. I apologize.
Hey, look, it's hard to get, you know, it's hard to put the wheels back on.
I had Rich Eisen on the show. What else do you want me to say?
Can I say this, that I was actually nervous?
Why were you nervous? It's Rich. He's the NFL demigod. He liked that a lot.
He did, but this is the first time in an NFL environment, and mind you, this is just in your room.
Were you nervous when we met him, when we were chatting with him face to face?
No, because I started with a joke.
Ah.
If I can start with a joke today? No, because we already had met.
Right.
And it was on telephone, and he is doing something that he never does, which is take time out of his really busy schedule for schmucks. And he don't do that.
Dude, please, whenever you talk about someone, talk about yourself. Don't ever call me a schmuck.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Again.
He was talking to a schmuck.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I was a little nervous. I love how you do that,
where you're like, when you say we, it's you and I. You lump us in
I
that.
Always
yeah,
talk
I don't ever consider myself
we,
to be a schmuck.
I don't see you as a schmuck.
Okay.
I like to tease our show that way just put down our show a little bit. It's fun.
But I'm never doing that to you.
I'm never. You are the consummate professional. You are the Edward R. Murrow of football. So now
Bears
we're talking
Giants.
About the Giants.
Bears
Speaking
Giants.
Of Gigantes, it's yes. you and the Giants standing there in the Giant camp. And this game, look, we saw the Giants up close and personal. We saw the Ravens, and I'm picking against them. But this Giants team does not look good.
It doesn't. They're struggling.
They're struggling mightily.
Struggling on
and
defense.
I've now got to look at my pick because I'm
struggling
so
on offense.
Speaking of nervous, I'm especially special teams. I'm taking the Bears.
Yeah, see, I had the Bears originally.
Did you?
But the Bears, to me...
See, I don't see your picks anywhere.
The
My picks
Bears,
are out.
To me, are one of those...
Enigmas wrapped in a towel.
To me, they are the question. I will ask you this question. We do this after 3 weeks of football. Is where I go, okay, Jeffrey, here are the undefeated teams. Pittsburgh Steelers, Kansas City Chiefs, Chicago Bears. Tell me, contender or pretender? Pittsburgh Steelers.
Contender.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Pretender.
Chicago Bears.
Pretender.
And that's exactly what I see.
New York
they
Giants.
They are the great pretenders. Pretending to be a good football team.
That's a nice little song.
Thank you very much.
Now, I'd prefer Jackson Brown's The Pretender, which is a real song.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of off of a...
You started old, with the real song?
It's an old song called...
Did the Pretenders maybe do it?
No, it was not The Pretenders. I'm the great pretender. Pretending
Teddy Pendergrass.
I'm still in love with you or something like that. I don't know. Anyway.
I'm going with Teddy Pendergrass, no. even though it's wrong.
It's just good to have a name in there. Trust me. But you know what? You know who gets all my references? Ed Franklin. I love that dude.
DC Sports fan.
He's like, man, you went deep with the Terrence Trent D'Arby.
DC Sports fan has a vaster... music catalog knowledge base than any, much like you are about the NFL.
Yeah.
He is about music.
He would have
sat there on the opening beats of last night's show, which was a rhythm and soul review show.
Yes.
So they did a lot of covers of Nitty Gritty Dirt Band
isn't
shows.
Isn't that what old musicians do before they die? They end up
in Vegas, and now we've determined Indian gaming casinos. but this was the Greek, so this was an all-star fest. But you could have had two bass riffs of like, dong, dong, dong. And Ed would have said, oh, they're doing this. They're doing this song. Ed would have just been able to do that. Now, back to this game. Chicago, New York Jets. Steven's got the Bears. Steven's off the Bears.
I don't think
the Bears are all that, but I am certain that the Giants are not all that either.
Here's my reason
for the
And
if you can't play well at home.
Here's my reason for the New York Giants pick. They are coming off an awful performance. I mean, it was god-awful.
God-awful.
Okay. It was horrible. 5 personal foul penalties twice on Kareem McKenzie in the fourth quarter of a game where you still possibly had a chance to get into. I don't know. They plus on top of those 5 personal fouls, they had another 11 penalties, okay, for a total like 90 yards or something like 86 yards. They were embarrassed by the Tennessee Titans. Turnovers. Eli Manning threw 2 picks, one of them throwing left-handed like a girl. Okay. It was the worst performance a Tom Coughlin, New York Giant football team has had since they got beat up 35-0 by the Carolina Panthers in the playoffs.
Correctamundo.
No way they performed like that 2 weeks in a row.
I think Tom Coughlin has virtually lost this locker room. I think there's a franchise spinning out of control. And I think it'll be evidenced on the big stage, Monday Night Football. And I think the Bears are going to come in and do enough. I don't think they're a great team, Steven, by any stretch of the imagination, okay? Do not hear me wrong.
Sunday Night Football, by the way, Jeffrey.
Okay, Sunday Night Football. But again, bigger stage than Monday Night Football because it's on free TV here in America. Yeah. And
the Bears.
The Bears.
Are going to – look, they barely beat the Packers who shot themselves in the foot.
And mirrors.
I'm not saying the Bears are good. I'm saying the Giants are that bad.
Smoke and mirrors, really, okay? And I don't know who I was listening to, but someone said, I don't even think the Bears should be qualified as undefeated because in my eyes, they lost to the Detroit Lions.
Well, and, you know, the Packers shot themselves in the foot, 18 turnovers. Come on.
Cowboys, 4 turnovers. Yeah. I mean, smoke and mirrors, people.
I don't disagree with that assessment, but that's how bad I think the Jets are, the Giants are.
There will be no smoke and mirror. It's going to run out eventually. You can't
New York Football Giants,
like
4-point favorites at home in the new Meadowlands Stadium. Okay. The weather they're expected
to
be. That
means Vegas understands. They understand. Giants, sorry.
They got it right. That's what you're saying.
A Tom Coughlin team does not go back-to-back stinkers.
63 degrees at kickoff. Clear weather on for this Sunday night game.
And as bad as the New York Giants defensive front has been getting called out.
And special teams.
I wouldn't want to be Jay Cutler going into this game.
Okay.
I do not want to be Jay Cutler going
into
this
game. Look, their front seven is still tough. I don't deny that. Okay, their front seven is still some of the better in the league. But Cutler has a great job. Mike Martz has done something with this offense, getting Jay outside the pocket, the mobile moving pocket, and it's working.
One thing I'll tell the Chicago Bears and the Chicago Bear fans right now, you're not going far without a running game. And they got zero running game.
They're trying. They're trying hard, but you're right. There's not much going on there. I would agree with that assessment. And Matt Forte is going to have to do something much more than we've seen him do.
And I like what he's contributing coming out of the backfield of catching passes, but once he's running the ball, no one's running the ball for Chicago.
We'll see what happens here. This is not a great game. It's a fascinating game.
Wow, I'm shocked that after 4 games,
we differ on three of them. You're right. Okay.
On 3 of them.
Right.
Yeah, very interesting.
And the one we could miss. Baltimore and Pittsburgh. It's like crud.
Right. All right. Must-see game. We start off in St. Louis, fresh off their first victory of the season, hosting the Seattle Seahawks.
We do this for Michael McDonald, who's originally from St. Louis, Missouri area. We do this just for him. And this is going to be an interesting game on Fox, a morning game. And what's going to happen here? It's real simple. I like the Rams.
Wow. I need to go look at my pick.
You don't know your pick off by heart?
Well, you know what? I've been working hard. I'm taking a – you know what? It's funny because – I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm taking the Seattle Seahawks. And, okay.
If I make it the challenge game, then I win.
After week one, they bamboozled me. Okay. Right. So I picked them week two, and then they get slaughtered in Denver.
They re-bamboozled.
Then week three, they beat with some smoke and mirrors themselves.
A lot.
Mostly the smoke and mirrors of Leon in Seattle, Washington. I like in Seattle better.
In Seattle?
Yeah.
Of Seattle.
But he's not of Seattle. So that would be your hometown.
He is now.
No, he's not of there.
Mister,
you're not
Leon,
Jeff
Mr.
Ellis.
Seattle.
You're not Jeff of Pasadena Ellis.
I'm of near Watts.
Exactly.
Can we call him Mr. Seattle Washington? That fits.
Leon Mr. Seattle Washington.
I think that's a good nickname. That's strong. Mr.
Seattle?
Sir Seattle.
Isn't Mr. Seattle like a strong
like
dude?
Atlas, man. Yeah, he works out. Are you going to say that Leon Washington's a wuss?
No.
Thank you.
He's got some guns. I'm taking the Seattle Seahawks.
Guess what, Steven? This is immediately the challenge game.
Oh, dude.
Because you always lose when the Seahawks are involved in a challenge game. Done. Deal. And I've just got to go with what works. Okay?
Wait a minute. So you're making...
Yes, I'm making the challenge game simply because the Seahawks are involved and we differ. That means default because I always – that guarantee – friends, go to Vegas, move to Vegas, sell the house, put everything you have on the St. Louis Cardinals. And the St. Louis Cardinals, by the way, what odds would you be getting on the St. Louis Cardinals? Let me tell you here that the St. Louis Cardinals – Phil.
Phil.
Okay, look, got him right here. This game's a pick at 2 places, and the Seattle Seahawks are 1-point favorites. So definitely go in there and take the Rams, and you'll be sitting pretty.
Look, Seattle knows that it needs to go in and play solid offense. It does. it will do enough on the defensive side of the ball to stop Sam Bradford, cool him down a little bit, cool your jets with the Rams. Yeah, you won one game. It's very nice. You're not winning this one. I got
Seattle. Danny Amendola, Mark Clayton, Brandon Gibson, Laurent Robinson, all getting it done there, all getting their share of touches. Sam Bradford getting the rock passed around to lots of people. Steven Jackson, we know he's got a hammy injury that he's nursing, but he's getting, this is also breaking news, is that he's getting acupuncture treatment for his hammy just to get him back there on the field.
And that's another reason. I don't think he's going to be on this on
if
the field.
If he's not starting, I will flip on this game.
This is a challenge game.
I will flip my pick, but I will still take my punishment like a man.
All right. I'm just saying, because challenge games don't get changed.
Exactly.
You can change it as a pick.
I can change it as a pick. Okay. That is my prerogative as a woman.
You sure you're locked into it as the challenge game?
I have to.
Okay. Yes.
Because it involves the Seahawks.
I know. All right.
And you know you're going to lose. So, I mean, that's all there is to it.
All right. The Tennessee Titans finally get to come back home, and they host the Denver Broncos. Jeffrey?
Wow, I was just waiting for...
No, you
ding,
told me
ding.
Not to.
I know, but it's kind of weird. It's just a weird one. So
I think every game should get the bell. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put it up for a vote. Please send me an email, steven@rarn.net. If you...
NCC Jeff.
NCC Jeff. If you would... Jeff@rarn.net. If you would like to hear the bell...
A hit bang for every single game.
There you go.
Or if you're like, it's a bit excessive, keeping it for each segment kind of makes sense here.
Jeffrey, you got...
I got the Tennessee
We got
Titans.
Some emails. Last week, we asked for people to come up with new names for the San Diego Chargers.
Oh, we came up with some fun ones.
We did have some good ones.
But you, of course, just ambushed me with that. So
but
I
we'll
can't
get, No. Well, we don't need them right now.
Good.
They're not until
I'm
games
trying,
of importance. So we'll get there. Right now, what we do need is we need your pick for Tennessee-Denver and why.
All right. I'm taking the Tennessee Titans because they're a much better team than the Denver Broncos, and they're playing at home.
Thank you. That was Jeff Ellis, people.
Deep.
Ba-dum-bop.
Wait,
deep
I got
thoughts
I got a,
with Jeff Ellis.
No, deep analysis.
Better team beats worse team, especially at home. Deep analysis with Jeff Ellis.
Are you breaking my network over there with your foot?
Probably, as far as you know, not.
Yeah, there's stuff in between.
All right.
There,
I'm just trying to be as comfortable as
humanly
possible.
Just trying to break the network, and then we can't bring you a show ever.
All right. Vegas has the Titans by a touchdown.
Okay.
I'm going to go up to 8 or 9.
Ooh, that's
on my pick.
That's a many. I like the Tennessee Titans. They're back at home. They're going to – the last time they were at home, they were embarrassed by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Won't happen twice in a row. They're going to stick it to Denver. And, look, I like what the Broncos are doing. Orton is throwing the ball very well. They're struggling running the ball. No Sean Moreno, hurt again. So they're stuck with Carell Buckhalter and
Lawrence Maroney, the New England Patriot, Denver Broncos
treat. If you
would have
let me finish, you would have heard it was coming.
Got it.
So that is what they've got running the ball. They're not going to run if the Giants couldn't run successfully on the Tennessee Titans. I know the Broncos aren't going to on the road. So they're going to have to rely on Orton, and he's just not going to be able to get it done. Tennessee Titans, as we heard from Tom Coughlin, Jeff Fisher teams like to bait teams.
They to bait teams. Yeah.
And right now, with the state of the Denver Broncos and where they are emotionally, physically, after a pretty tough battering game against the Indianapolis Colts, they might get some personal foul penalties themselves. I like Tennessee.
You see frustration slipping into
Absolutely.
Things here?
Absolutely.
And Kyle Orton did.
Remember, this was a team that started 6-0 last year.
That's right.
They're not starting 6-0 this year,
no. No, not really.
Yeah.
So, Steven and I both taking the Tennessee Titans, and the weather there in Tennessee will be... That kind of rhymed, didn't it? Nashville's going to see 20% chance of humidity, high around 60 degrees.
All right, moving on to the Bay Area. We come across the country as the Houston Texans visit the Oakland Raiders.
Oakland Raiders playing up in...
Raider Nation!
Playing on the other side of the bay in Oakland, Alameda County Coliseum. It will be a lovely day, 65 degrees, yes?
Did you see the picture of Sebastian Janikowski missing?
Seabass missing.
On the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. He made my bad segment.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or even, did he go all the way to the ugly?
No, I think he might have gone ugly.
No, it was just bad. It was
just it's just fun to say that he went ugly. That was just fun to say. Look, here's the deal.
Yeah, what is the deal?
The deal is, how far can Bruce Gradkowski carry this team?
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a good question, isn't it?
A Let's see. Bruce Gronkowski.
How Terry far can he carry this team?
When
do you get Jason Campbell back out there? Because let me tell you, I know that they saw. Look at the picture of Seabass missing. Oops, there it isn't.
It was a 32-yarder,
and
dude.
He's just above the ugly. He's just above the ugly box. That's why I visually had him in the ugly, because it says right under him, the ugly.
The bad,
he got Sean Payton in there. That's cold and heartless.
Can I read it to you?
Sure, read it.
Look, Hartley, it was Sean Payton and kicker Garrett Hartley. Hartley wasn't the only one to blame for the Saints' 27-24 overtime loss to the Falcons. Of course, there's no excuse for missing a 20-yard field goal in overtime, but head coach Sean Payton is just as responsible. After the Saints' offense had carved the Falcons' secondary to give his team a first and goal at the Atlanta 11-yard line, Payton decided to remove his best players, the offense, from the field and trot on his very questionable kicker for a gimme field goal. Apparently, Payton forgot that gimme field goals are not so gimme with this kicker.
They're not gimme. They're gimpy.
There you go. So that's why, yes, that's why Sean Payton made the bad.
Yeah.
But Oakland, Seabass.
Yeah.
That's the best guy on the team. According to some people in the organization, that's the best guy on the team, by the way.
True that. But I would say that the best guy on the team is probably Zach Miller.
Darius Heyward-Bey?
I wouldn't put DHB
Darren McFadden
there yet. Lewis Murphy, Michael Bush.
Wow, that's a lot of people that don't.
We're grasping at straws here, friends.
We're trying to be
nice, talking
though.
About the Oakland Raiders. We're trying to find something positive to say.
You think they're going to lose to Houston after the Texans just got embarrassed by the Cowboys? You think Houston's are going to come? They're going to take it out on Oakland? They're going to take it out on Oakland.
That's pretty much the way I see it, Steven.
Yeah, they're going to take it out on Oakland.
Look, this is my Houston Texans, Mr. Way Too Much Love for Texans guy. And that's me, and I stand by them proudly. But let me say this also.
Say it.
The Buffalo Bills finally show up with a blip on the radar in their game against the Jets. I had said on the pigskin pick'em,
yeah.
They didn't show up with anything. They actually are a blip. They have a little line now next to them this week. So I'm very happy for the Buffalo Bills this week.
Oh, okay, great. Let's, why are you talking about the Bills?
Because I'm looking at my picks and everything like that. And it's a stream of consciousness, if not anything else.
I see. Well, I've got Houston.
I've got Houston quite comfortably.
As a matter of fact, I'll give you $5 if you take the Raiders in this game.
$5 now because I'm going to lunch pretty soon. I could use the money. I mean, money talks.
You're a dog, dude. Yes, $5 right now. Change your pick.
No.
But it is a pick that you will not be able to change
later.
You
know how I am about picks.
Yes.
I care about picks as much as money.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Which is kind of scary a little bit. But that's it. That's all the must-see games.
Besides that, you don't have to see any of the rest of these, but you still might want to.
Yeah, well, no, these are games of importance now.
I said, these are the only games you must see what we've talked about to this point. The rest of these you may want to see.
Yes.
And here we come.
And
games of importance.
The games of importance. And the reason you'll want to see some of these, there's some storylines in there that are pretty intriguing. We'll start in San Diego as the San Diego Chargers host the Arizona Cardinals. And why do you want to watch this game? Yeah, because San Diego's in trouble. They are starting off slowly again. They can nary afford to lose to the Arizona Cardinals. And the Cardinals.
Warning.
Actually, you know, got a little help from Sebastian Janikowski to get them their second win. So you've got 2-1 Arizona at 1-2 San Diego. And Jeffrey, if I told you, it's going to be one of the teams is going to be 1-2, who would you thought would be 1-2?
Duh, it's going to be Arizona. And I'm going to say, how did Arizona get their one win? That's what I'm going to say.
Well, instead, we're talking about the San Diego Chargers, and how did they get their one win? They got to play the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So wait, you're going to tell me that the San Diego Chargers only have one win?
What?
That's right.
We know they start slow, but come on.
No, they have started worse than slow.
I know. This is like so slow that you're almost crawling backwards, okay?
How many wins do they have, Emma? One.
What?
Serious?
Yeah, they're 1-2. They are headed to a possibility of flirting with 1-3 here, Jeffrey.
That's not going to happen. There is nary a chance in Hades that this happens. No, this cannot happen. But for those who are out there and happen to be inside the Nevada state lines...
NFL Rants and Raves, most dumbest wager line of the week.
Oh.
Houston and Oakland, Steven. I didn't give the line there. Houston is only favored by 3 points in Oakland.
Really?
Come on. Give them five.
Wait a minute.
Give them five at least.
So they're telling me, Yeah, okay, that makes sense because they're on the road.
So they're but they're calling this a neutral game.
No. They're getting 3 points.
They're getting 3 points on the road.
Which means that the reason it should be 6. If it were neutral, it would be 6.
I see. Which I have it at 5 or 6.
And if it were in Houston, it'd be 9.
Oh, okay. But I still don't think they have it right. I don't think they have the line right. Do you?
No.
I've got it a touchdown. Comfortably a touchdown. So just wanted to let people a heads up to the dumbest wager line of the week.
That is the dumbest wager line of the week. But right now, San Diego is in they are in the serious backs against the wall mode already after week 3.
They're 8-point favorites. They're at home.
Well, have you seen Arizona?
Yes, I have.
Their best player,
Larry Fitzgerald.
Thank you very much. I don't think anybody will argue that the best player on that football team is Fitzgerald. Because of their quarterback situation, he has been made irrelevant.
He has been taken out of the game completely, and I'd be frustrated as heck if I was Larry Fitzgerald. The weather there at Qualcomm Stadium will be, of course, what it is every day in San Diego, 72 degrees,
72.
No rain. I mean, it's just, come on. It's San Diego. And that crowd we know gets loud. Arizona, look, you guys just don't got enough to come to this party and think that you have anything unique to bring to this game. San Diego should roll you up and smoke you, and that should be the end of it.
Yeah, the Cardinals will have to somehow find a way to stop Phillip Rivers. Right now, Phillip Rivers is on a tear. They get Ryan Matthews back. He's been practicing this week. He's been a full participant in practice. So
How? With a high ankle sprain, you don't do that.
He's a beast. He's a beast.
Well, he's trying to shake this image that he's injury prone.
Yes.
And so he needs to be out there. But at the same time, Beanie Wells is going to be out there, is not going to be out there, likely. He's very, very questionable. Yeah. And so it's going to leave it in the hands of Tim Hightower to carry this game. And that's not how this team's designed. And so Fitz is going to. And they're not even going to have a chance to run the ball anyways because they're going to be losing.
There you go. Which means a lot of Derek Anderson, which means that as they struggle, this might be the first game that you get a catch of no, right?
A catch of no? I didn't understand what that meant.
No, the backup quarterback, Hall. Hall. Sorry, I'll enunciate better.
Okay, Hall. Yeah, no, Hall may absolutely get to see the field. That's all there is to it.
Drek is stinking it up in San Diego.
Drek can't be stinky poo-poo. That's most of his career. I'm sorry. That was cut deeply, but it's true.
That was a little harsh.
It's true, though.
But no, I like San Diego
Max
in this
Hall
game.
May actually see the field, and it would be for a good reason.
No way San Diego goes to 1-3.
Absolutely agreed. They may start slow, but they're not that slow.
All right. Very interesting
late game on Fox.
The Atlanta Falcons hosting the San Francisco 49ers.
Ding, ding. You're right. It's something. It's just missing something.
Well, you know.
I know. It's tough. It's really tough. So the San Francisco 49ers go into Atlanta, and, you know, it's a pride game for San Francisco because, look, what a week they've gone through. The firing of Jimmy Ray as their offensive coordinator. And now the talk, the fact that they actually had to entertain talk of, are we going to pick up Trent Edwards from off waivers from Buffalo Bills. And the storylines made sense. Look, he's a local kid. He's a Stanford kid, and he could thrive there in that environment. But that talk gets back to the quarterback. And that makes his little confidence there of Alex Smith get a little bit weaker,
shakier. I don't care about Alex Smith's confidence. He shouldn't have any because he's been horrible.
He has been horrible. So what do? You fire his offensive coordinator and you promote the quarterback's coach.
You can't fire the quarterback, so let's fire the offensive coordinator.
I assume you have Atlanta in this game.
That is a good assumption.
I have Atlanta in this game. The 49ers do not have much of a snowball's chance in heck to pull this one out.
Atlanta coming off their win in overtime against the New Orleans Saints. They're feeling pretty good. They now want to take control of the division. They don't care what the Saints do now. We got one on them.
Yep.
If we keep winning.
Keep the pressure on.
We're at home. They're in a dome. It is tough to play in that Georgia dome.
Wow.
It gets pretty raucous in there. And so I like the Falcons.
For the 8.42% of pigskin pick'em people who are taking San Francisco,
they're bandwagoners.
Okay, that's fine.
They didn't leave the bandwagon when I
bailed early on,
yes,
before the season
even
began.
And by the way, speaking of bandwagons, Jeffrey, I've gotten several emails from folks that, yes, I've never been on a Steeler bandwagon.
Yeah, no, I got those too. Apparently, Steven's perceived as a hater.
Yes.
So far from anyone who would ever be near the bandwagon, he's a hater. I don't believe that. Is that true?
I've never really hated on the Steelers, no.
Do you have any animosity towards them? You know, is it because you guys are in a ring contest with them?
Back when I was a child,
they have one for the thumb and you
don't. They beat the Cowboys a couple times.
Okay. But, well, Atlanta is 7-point favorites at home, over under 42. And I think that that line's probably right. You know, I mean, because San Francisco is not a bad football team at all. And I think, unfortunately, what Atlanta's going to get is their best shot. San Francisco every week is going to come out and give you their best shot because they're going to be a team playing desperate, unfortunately, week after week.
Their best shot isn't going to be enough, though.
It's not. But the fact is they've got weapons. They've got a defense. And they can play.
They haven't used a weapon. I haven't seen a Vernon Davis touchdown or a Michael Crabtree touchdown in years.
You're going to see VD, Michael Crabtree, Josh Morgan, the whole crew
out there
catching footballs. And
really?
Frank Gore, especially out of the backfield. And you're going to see a lot of that. And you're going to see a much more robust offense than you've seen under Jimmy Ray. And that's what the team needs to see. And they know they're playing for coach's life. At this point, Sings finds himself in a bit of a hot seat early on. If they don't win this division when they were expected to win it in a landslide.
El asiento caliente.
That's the hot seat, babies. So that is what we see going on with San Francisco and Atlanta. That brings us to the Indianapolis Colts at the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Steven, what do you think about that one?
Well, I think that the Jacksonville Jaguars and Jack Del Rio should...
How did you say hot seat again in Spanish?
El asiento caliente.
El asiento caliente.
Yes, Jack Del Rio should just start hugging all of his players.
You know, write those goodbye thank you cards. It's been great to be part of the organization.
Start taking some pictures because once he gets blown out again by the Indianapolis Colts, it's going to be time that they make a decision there in Jacksonville. I like Del Rio. He played for the Cowboys.
He's great.
All right? When he was a player, he played for the Cowboys. Liked him then. Liked him now.
He's a great
guy.
Liked
him as a coach. Chopping the wood, bringing the axe in. You know,
yes.
He motivates his guys. But when your offense can't do anything, and when you have a running back as talented as Maurice Jones-Drew, and for three consecutive weeks he has not been able to find the end zone, it's not all on him. It's something going on there with the offensive line.
Oompa-loompa-doodly-doo. I've got another puzzle for you.
Yes, what is the puzzle?
What do you get when you've got a great back and he doesn't get anything but crap? Okay, it didn't work.
Yeah, no,
it was starting strong. You should have let me do the Britney Spears bit.
No.
Just saying, you should have.
No,
because
Britney Spears.
That would have gone better than that.
No, Britney Spears.
That would have gone better than that.
Well, yeah.
Because it had to.
Well, you
that
were ripping
stuck.
Off my Oompa Loompa. That's why it never worked.
What do you get when you've got a great back? Nothing rhymes with back.
I like the Colts.
Smack.
The Colts are, look, Peyton Manning and the Colts have shown you take anybody off the street, throw them in wide receiver, they're going to do good.
They are going to do very, very well. And here's the thing. They're going into Jacksonville. A team that always plays them close.
They do. They play always. Tough games.
But that just means you play close and you lose. Which, is it a consolation?
But Jeffrey,
I don't know.
In the past, for those Indianapolis teams, they've struggled defending the run. They're not having those problems this year.
No, they seem to be doing
fourth
much better.
And goal from the one against Denver. They held Moreno and Lawrence Maroney to 0 yards.
Yeah, Vegas has got Indianapolis favored by 7.5.
Woo!
On the road,
Woo,
7.5-point favorites. You don't see lines bigger than that generally for road teams.
Not for road teams.
That's what I'm saying. For road teams, you generally don't see that. You don't see them go above a touchdown because it makes everybody nervous. But these are the Colts, and these are the Jags, and it is what it is.
It is what it is.
And you can't turn an orange into a peach because that so applies here. If it's ever applied anywhere, it's here.
You can't make oranges be peaches. It's exactly what it is, and it doesn't change, and it will never change.
What was Ray Lewis talking about?
Don't care. I love it, though, but you can't make oranges peaches. Now, yeah, they both have lots of juice in them, and yeah, they're orange.
Someone throw them an orange, like, can you make me a peach schnapps, please?
Look, you can't make an orange into a peach. It's as simple as that.
We both have the Indianapolis Colts. Moving on, as the Cleveland Browns host the Cincinnati Bengals.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Mean and
upset and angry.
Upset and angry. Well, let's give the defense some credit. The defense is doing pretty
good.
It's
defense
the
plays all right.
It's the
Carson
offense.
Palmer's lost. Somebody help him find a flight.
I like Palmer, and he's a
we
USC.
Like him.
I don't even like SC.
We don't
like
SC, and we like Palmer. Go explain that, because he's a nice guy.
He is a good guy.
He's a darn nice guy, and he has played this game of NFL football at a very high level.
Big Dog is struggling right now.
And the big dog needs to be taken out behind the barn and be put down.
No, no, not like that.
I'm just
Steven, we need to infuse him. What is he?
He needs a hug.
Is he right now maybe feeling the strengths of and I don't wanna start nothing. Don't start nothing where there is nothing, but I gotta ask the question, just to be fair.
A journalist has to ask the question.
Yes. Do you feel that maybe he's feeling some of the strain of having a Chad Ochocinco on one side and a Tio on the other side and trying to get the balls to everyone?
No.
No?
I just shot you for that. No.
Why would you shoot me?
Because that's a dumb question. That's a journalist question, Steven, but we don't ask the dumb journalist question.
Well, that's not. Look.
The strain he's feeling is that he can't hit a pass. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn right now.
So you don't think he's forcing any passes?
I don't think
anywhere.
He's just back to throw and he sees Ocho and he sees Tio and he's like, and then he ends up throwing it between them. I don't see that, no. Okay. I think he stinks
That's
right now.
That's a horrible exaggeration of what I
of
said.
Of course it is. But, Steven, I'm just saying, I don't see that. I see a guy who's just not
so it's
completing
just him.
Passes.
It's just, he is just bad.
Yeah, and you know what? If I'm Tom Benson, who's the owner of this team? I just pulled that out of thin air.
Yeah,
that may or may not be correct.
No, Benson is not correct. He's the owner of the New Orleans Saints.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct. But if I am the owner of the Cincinnati Bengals, and wow, that was wrong. But anyways, if I am fed up because it's like, how many weapons can I possibly surround my offensive coordinator with? And all we're coming up with is Bupkis on offense, and we're becoming known as a legendary defensive team when we want to be sexy. We want to score touchdowns on offense, not on defense. It's ridiculous. I don't know what Marvin Lewis is supposed to do. I don't know what
don't
more
know
he
what,
can do to get this
what,
team to win.
I don't know what Marvin Lewis is supposed to do either. I mean, he may have to make a change, unfortunately.
Change where? A quarterback go from Palmer to Palmer, bring in little brother?
Little brother Palmer?
But little Palmer. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do. It's really, really disconcerting to those of us who have really enjoyed watching Carson play since he was at college and play at a high level. And the injury happened, but he seemed to have come back from the injury. So I don't even want to put it on that. I don't get what's going on.
Well, Jeffrey, what do you feel the the Browns
are bringing to the table?
Do you, speaking of asiento caliente, do you feel that Mangini is on that hot seat?
Steven, I think Mangini's absolutely on that hot seat. And let me say, for all of the talking and smack that's been going on here, I am taking the Bengals in this game. Okay, because they're playing on the road against the Browns, and the Browns don't got much.
That's
the
smart thing to do,
right? But and Seneca Wallace, to his credit, has looked reasonably good. He's looked strong, but again, like most backup quarterbacks, that lasts for a couple weeks, and after that, the magic's gone, and people are like, "Oh yeah, it's just Seneca Wallace back there. We know how to defend him."
It is just Seneca Wallace
and Peyton Hillis. Look, you've been terrific. You have been an MVP waiting to be for Rookie of the Year. But there's not much. I mean, Cribs in space, Massaqua, Ben Watson. Come on, there's just not much there.
Jake DeLone, we don't know if he's going to start in this game.
Like
or,
it matters
or even playing this game, but you're right. It does not matter. The Cleveland Browns are they have no one outside of Josh Cribs who is electrifying. Now I'm going to take a good hard look at Peyton Hillis again this week. Peyton Hillis was pretty impressive in his start and being like a full-time
back there
for the Cleveland Browns against the Baltimore Ravens. But I think that this Cincinnati defense is pretty spectacular. I'm not sure Cleveland puts up a lot of points. And unfortunately, we may just have to face the fact that when you're playing the Cincinnati Bengals, you're going to be in a whole bunch of low-scoring, ugly games.
Yeah. In fact, that brings me to the line, which I'm very curious what the over-under is for this, because I'm going to have a hard time believing that the under is not the smart play here.
And Mike Brown, Jeffrey, is the president of the Cincinnati Bengals.
And what name did I say?
Tom Benson.
Yeah, okay. I was trying to hoping that the Brown and the Benson thing lined up closer, and they don't at all. So that was just an utter complete fail, as my kids like to say. Vegas has the line.
But you should be proud that you pulled Tom Benson. He is an owner. It's just for the New Orleans Saints.
For the wrong team. Yeah. So Cincinnati is favored by 3, the over-under 37.5, and they're going to really struggle to score 37 points in this game, these two teams.
Yeah, I've got something like 22-12 or something crazy.
But you haven't written it up yet, so you don't really know.
All right, let's move on.
Next on the hit parade
we both
is
have the Cincinnati Bengals and the final game of important. No, that was it.
We move on to the super sleepy snores, and you didn't take the time to make the sound because you don't have the time. I understand that.
Yeah,
so we got to roll for the first week with this.
All right, the nap games. Enjoy it, people. That's the last time you'll be hearing me sleep.
Which is why we're going to do it in its entirety, because it's the last time.
Now.
Thank you very much. But since it's the last, we had to go out with a bang.
We'll start with the New York Jets going to Buffalo to face the Buffalo Bills.
Wow, if that don't make you want to go... Buffalo Bills are 5.5-point dogs at home to a New York Jets team. Wow.
I'll take the Jets.
I'm taking the Jets too, but not a 5.5 necessarily. This will not be a high scoring affair, I don't imagine.
What?
No, that's your daughter that makes that sound. Road. That's not you.
The Jets just went on the road into Miami and put up a whole bunch of points. They put up 31.
And mind you, I picked against them. And so.
No, then you changed.
And then I changed because of Braylon Edwards shaving a beard. I mean, that was pretty weak.
Yeah,
I don't think they sustain a powerful offense consistently, Steven. I don't think that the Jets do that. I don't believe
Sanchez
that they sustain
has turned
it.
The corner, dude.
I believe that he's going to have some more road bumps and road humps along the
way. Not against the friggin' Buffalo Bills.
I've got the Jets winning.
I understand he's going to have road bumps. It's not going to be against the Bills.
It is often against teams that you should roll on that you don't necessarily... Great quarterbacks who are seasoned understand that every team is dangerous and you have to prepare equally hard for every game. And in the back of Sanchez's mind, these are the lousy Bills.
Just right now. I haven't even looked at the numbers. 33-17.
This, I guarantee. Yeah,
absolutely. 33 points or more that the Jets put a roll up on the Bills.
Because I haven't put that sound together either, which is one of my duties.
Go.
So I throw me under the bus too.
Good. 33 or more against the Bills. That's a guarantee for me.
And is that worthy of a stake?
No, it's just a guarantee. Every week I give two guarantees. This is one of them.
Oh, I want a steak. This is an early game, and the weather forecast for those of you in beautiful Orchard Park, New York, as I misspoke on the previous show, the weather in Orchard Park, Ralph Wilson Stadium, will be 50 degrees. Ooh, it's starting to get fall.
Maybe we can get some over here.
Steven and I both got the Jets in this game. Carolina at the New Orleans Saints.
The Panthers head down south to face the New Orleans Saints, who are coming off a disappointing loss. They bounce back. They're going to crush Carolina. It's not even going to be funny. Carolina has the worst offense in the league, the worst scoring offense in the league. As a matter of fact, last I heard, they don't even have an offense in their team.
They have an offense, and they have so much of an offense that Vegas has New Orleans winning by 14.
That's
looking like college football time here.
14-point favorites. That's huge.
That is college football, isn't it? That tells you all you need to know about this game, Steven.
Yeah.
So we both have got the Saints.
Absolutely.
That's an easy one.
All right, and easy, the final peasy. Nap game and the final game on the 14-game docket, the Green Bay Packers host the Detroit Kitty Cats.
You know, there was a time that the roar was more ferocious and the roar was... But that's the shoulder of Matt Stafford.
They almost had it. They almost had it.
So close. They're
Week
cursed.
One, they almost got the roar. Week two, they almost got the roar. Last week, they weren't even anywhere near getting close to the roar. And I suspect
they were
this
getting
week,
a pedicure. They were actually getting their nails clipped.
Yeah, this week, I suspect they will have nothing.
Well,
Green Bay is going to be upset at how they played football.
Kind of.
How they set a franchise record for 18 penalties. They're going to get that corrected. And they're going to smack around the kitty cats a little bit. This is Green Bay huge.
This is Green Bay huge. And this is 14.5 points Green Bay has at home over Detroit.
Oh,
You wonder why we needed nap games, people. This is why we need nap games. We can't talk about this game for 10 minutes. Yeah, why would you?
When you got the Green Bay Packers and the New Orleans Saints both favored by 14 points, literally, if you take the underdog in this game to win, you got some issues.
You got a gambling problem.
Or you're from Carolina and Detroit. Or you're a fan of one of those teams.
No, you're not a fan. You're from there. You're like, you're born into that team.
And you're obligated to take them. But we both got the Packers. So, Jeffrey, 1, 2, 3, 4 games that we differ on. That's back-to-back weeks where we have 4 games we differ on.
And you picked up a game on me last week.
I did.
So.
And actually, it wound up only being 3 because you changed back to the Jets. So
I do what I'm told.
I was looking to pick up 2 games on you last week. But
I didn't think it was going to happen. So now that I can sit here and objectively look at them, Washington at Philadelphia. I have the Eagles, New England at Miami. I've got Miami at home. Steven is basically going on the road with a few of these. Of the 4 games we differ on, 2 of them he is taking.
3.
3 of them you're taking the road team.
Road teams, baby.
Seattle Seahawks on the road. New England Patriots on the road. Fine. Washington Redskins on the road. Seems unlikely. So it's Seattle or Washington is the only logical choice. And because Seattle has been so good to me over the challenge games, that will be the challenge game.
All right.
Although I'm comfortable with Washington and Philly also.
At St. Louis challenge game. Okay.
We want to thank everybody for listening. We want to give a huge thank you to Rich Eisen.
NFL demigod, Rich Eisen.
And please, go check out his podcast. He's doing a much fancier show than us, but it still will probably, knowing Rich, it'll be top notch.
It is top notch. I've listened to the first 2 episodes. 3rd episode is up now. Remember,
how long are his shows? Do you
Rich,
know? They're probably under 3 hours, I'm thinking.
A lot less than 3 hours.
Well, there you go.
They're in the 30, 40-minute range.
Okay.
Right in there. RichEisen.NFL.com. He's got a nice blog set up there where his podcasts are available there. And also on iTunes, go and check it out as well. Just search Rich Eisen.
And for heaven's sake, if you like the league, read the book. It tells you everything that goes on, and he's got so many funny stories.
That's right. NFL Total Access, A Journey to the Center of the NFL Universe. Rich Eisen, he's got some great stories in there. And seriously, that opening where he talks about the convention and how he talked about the convention on the show today, with it being one big, huge football convention.
I thought he would laugh at my Silver Convention reference because he's old enough. He would have had one of their albums, Fly Robin Fly. He would have had that album.
I didn't know who you were. I
know you didn't,
late.
But I know Rich did, and yeah. I'm surprised it didn't get a chuckle or a kafault out of him at
least. Well, he had a lot of chuckles, and we thank him for being on the show. I want to thank Brianna for arranging it all for us.
He's
really
got good
appreciate
peeps.
It there. And Jeffrey, that's all the time we got. We got to head on out. We are on the road this week. Remember, catch us Sky Sports News Radio, Friday night, 8 p.m. UK time on the radio, 8:45 UK time on TV. Then you can
always get the radio on the internet. Just Google search Sky Sport News, and you can listen to
Sky Sports News Radio.
Internet, search that. You will find the stream, and you can jump on the stream and listen live in America
that's
or
right.
wherever you
and
are.
Wherever
Australia.
You are, you can listen to us there for
and
the
then
TV.
Chicky and Pete.
That's right.
Sunday Night Football.
Chicky and Pete.
Sunday Night Football.
What is
anybody
it
in the
what
Philly
is the
area.
Give a location, dude. Come on, baby. Jeff is now going to look that up while I vent for a little bit. I'm going to vent?
About,
yeah, I'm venting.
You're
I'm
venting?
Vent right now.
You're not supposed to vent. You're actually supposed to
vamp.
I don't There's a difference.
Vamp. I
venting
vamp.
Is for
I
anger.
I actually said, yeah, I have some anger that I want to get out right
is
now.
Is it
Can
towards
I get
me?
Because
I'm just scared.
It may towards, be towards
well, then
you.
Then I want to go home.
All right, no, I'll vamp instead of vent because I'll wait for Jeff to leave.
There's
and
a
I'll
whole
just
bunch
vamp
of
myself.
Them.
But anyways, Pistol Pete's? What is it called again?
It's called Chicky and Pete's, but there's the original at Robbins Avenue.
All right.
There's Roosevelt
Go
Boulevard.
Go out to the website, www.nflrnr.com. We'll figure it
there's
out
by the airport.
Once we figure out where we're going to be after the game. We are covering Eagles-Redskins. We will be at the stadium. Go check us. Well, you can't check us out there unless you're actually at the game. But if you are in the Philadelphia area, make sure you give us a holler.
Please do.
Send us an email and whatnot.
We'd love to
we'll
see
try to get together with everyone. So, Steven Miranda.
Jeff Ellis.
For NFL Rants and Raves. Good night, folks.
Thanks for listening.